The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah, like that.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron.
And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No. You're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Oh my goodness, what a week this is going to be and already has been. From the moment the Denver Broncos upset, and I do say upset, the Pittsburgh Steelers, this, well, you knew that this was going to be a wild week. Tim Tebow coming to Gillette Stadium. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better story if you're writing about football. So that's what we are going to be talking about today. I mean, I guess we'll go over the other playoff games that happened over the weekend, but really, I mean, whatever. This is where it's all happening. Gillette Stadium, Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Actually, it's an 8:15 kickoff, just to be, accurate. And Tim Tebow versus the New England Patriots. Unbelievable. Couldn't ask for a better setting. The crowd will be crazy. They better be. Josh McDaniels just in the staff to add to the intrigue. And we've got the Denver writers, a few of them, all got their panties in a bunch about that. We'll talk about that. Oh, it's just the storylines are just writing themselves, right, Andy Hart?
Indeed. Everybody's excited. I haven't seen this much energy from you to start a show in I don't know how long.
I thought I always have a lot of
energy.
No,
you're wound up, and that's good.
Yeah.
A lot of media here today, Freddie.
Yeah, you just came from the locker room. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-298-0398 for the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call or email. Get involved with the show. What's that locker room like, Andy?
Relatively quiet. You know, a lot of.
You just said there were a lot of people.
Well, there's a lot of media.
Oh, okay.
A lot of media here. And there were press conferences today. Tom Brady, Vince Wilfork, Devin McCourty all went to the podium. I was not in that. I was in the
playoff
open locker
time.
Room.
We start bringing guys to the podium.
Kind of laying them out for the national media types.
Right.
And give them that visual. But a lot of guys in the locker room actually said, I'll talk on Wednesday. Brian Waters, Kyle Arrington, a few guys. Gronkowski talked. He did a very good job. They've really coached him up well.
Oh, yeah.
Over the course of the season. Like, he wouldn't even answer, you know, Tebow questions. Well, he's on offense and I'm on offense. I'm just preparing for their defense and, you know, those kinds of things. You know, there were Patrick Chung was just in there. I saw talking at the very end. But not a lot of buzz in the locker room, I wouldn't say, and any different than a normal day, even a few less players talking. Part of that is because the guys went to the podium and the media's there and all that.
Right.
And I thought Bill Belichick did a good job of, you know, the whole focus on.
Yeah.
The Broncos and 5 days till the Broncos and Saturday night. And, you know, I'm happy for Romeo. I'm happy for Nick. But really my focus is, you know, my loyalties with this organization. I owe it to them to prepare and all that crap.
Nick Saban won the national championship last night. 2 out of 3 seasons. Pretty impressive for Alabama.
The Nick-tator.
Yep. But, you know, as far as the rest of the guys, is it too early to detect a tone yet or a theme for this week?
I would say if there was an early theme, it's business. Just, definitely business.
Yeah.
Business approach here, which, you know, I've criticized at times in the past. The Patriots regular season, one game at a time business approach, and whether that translates well into the postseason. I think you need to ramp it up a little bit, crank it a little, and we'll see if they can.
I mean, you don't think that there's any chance, and Paul Perillo has just joined us, that there's any chance that the Patriots could look past the Broncos,
no,
do you?
Not at all.
No.
I think the only time they looked past them was probably last week when they were prepping for the Steelers, in my guess. Yeah. But now that they're actually playing the Broncos, I don't think they'll look past them at all.
Yeah, Bill had kind of a funny comment yesterday in terms of when they got started and you know, during the conference call yesterday. And
you could hear that?
I forget exactly how he put it, because partly because of the audio problems. But it was almost as if he said, yeah, you know, when you know we started to work right away when – you know, when the game was over. And I kind of took that to believe we had spent a little bit more time on Pittsburgh than we did on Denver.
As they should have.
Well, you know, that's happened before with the Steelers. I remember back in 01 when the Patriots played the Steelers, New Orleans had the hotel all decked out with Steeler colors, and it turned out the Patriots were
how that
hotel
got into this.
I really have no idea. The things you can tie together. But I think the most interesting aspect of this week so far, and it's very early in the process, is this whole Denver Post thing where they want protests. They're literally writing multiple columns a day.
Well, we actually tried to get Mike Kliss on the phone today. He's going to be with us tomorrow at 12:30. And Michael Silver, we might try to get on. Michael Silver obviously isn't with Denver Post, but Woody Page also with the Post, all objecting to, you know, this Josh McDaniels hiring, that it's just not in the spirit of fair play.
But I think even if you read their columns closely, they kind of contradict themselves. They both reference that the Broncos did it. When Mike Shanahan was fired by the Raiders, within weeks he was back as the offensive the quarterback's coach for the Broncos.
Right.
The Broncos went on to play in the Super Bowl.
1989.
They actually faced, as you had me look up, Bill Belichick's Giants during the regular season.
Yep.
That year. So they did that, and then the other part, they're all ripping McDaniels that he didn't know what he was doing.
He's terrible.
Well, why? They literally went back and said he didn't even make the playoffs in his last year in New England in 2008. I mean, they use that as, you know, they don't mention that Tom Brady didn't play that year.
Mike Kliss wrote that everything that Josh McDaniels has done since he went to Denver has failed.
Right.
That if you were walking down the street and he was walking on the sidewalk, you should go to the other side because the rain cloud will hit you.
So shouldn't they be like, cheering at the Patriots? They got the jinx. Woohoo!
Right.
So, I mean, I think he's something like 7-33 in his last 40 games that he's been involved in.
What's the opposite of the Midas touch? The McDaniels touch? I mean, that's what they're trying to paint it as, and yet it's not fair.
Right, it's not fair. You know, you would think that they'd want the Patriots, you know, given that. So it's just Patriots hatred. That's all it is.
Well, Teddy Bruschi, I thought, was interesting when he sort of wrote about in 2009 when the Broncos beat the Patriots before Josh became persona non grata in Denver. It was all about Mike McCoy and Josh McDaniels teaming up to formulate the game plan as to what to do against the Patriots. So Teddy surmised that Josh knows exactly what Mike McCoy's thinking. He knows what McCoy knows worked and didn't work for New England. Now, there's a lot of turnover in personnel since then.
Yep.
On both sides. Yep. There's guys that have come and gone.
Most notably quarterback.
There's guys that have come and gone. You know, how they held the Patriots that day to 17 points, I'm not sure translates today, you know, based on that knowledge.
They didn't have the two tight ends.
Well, that's part of what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know? I mean, obviously they couldn't hold them to 17 out there in Denver when they put 41 on the board.
I mean, and Josh's, his relationship is with the offense on that team. I mean, that was Mike Nolan's defense back then. And his relationship was with McCoy running a Patriots-style passing attack. The Broncos don't have a Patriots-style passer.
Everything has changed.
They now have a Jag who, even in his greatest game, completes less than 50% of his passes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a totally I just don't see how there's – I mean, the only thing that I think he knows is Tebow. I think he knows Tebow, but I don't think he knows Tebow any better than Bill Belichick does.
Right.
Bill Belichick may have wanted to draft Tebow. He did every bit as much research on Tebow.
Right.
So I would argue, what is there to know about Tebow's habits that people don't know? I mean, isn't it kind of
all you got to do is watch the games?
Yeah, it's readily apparent.
Yeah, that's all it is.
That's why I think there's like no advantage to it being the Broncos. I think the Patriots may have an advantage that they have another good, smart offensive mind.
Here's what I think.
But nothing specific to the Broncos.
You know, we haven't been able to talk about the McDaniels thing on the radio because it happened over the weekend. But I think that, you know, the fact that they wanted to get him in here so quick. I mean, he was literally in Foxborough on Sunday getting settled and everything. They needed to get him here real fast. And I think My thinking is that they do feel that there might be a distraction with O'Brien, and you know he could use a little support. And one thing we do know that McDaniels knows is Tom Brady. So as a sounding board for Brady, or just an assistant in that, along those lines, I think McDaniels can be a benefit.
But isn't that obvious?
What?
I mean, that you have a guy who knows your system, knows your quarterback, has worked for you. It's going to help. Even almost regardless of the – I'm not saying they would have done it.
But at the same time, you don't want too many cooks in the kitchen.
Right.
You know?
That, to me, is a concern. But they've worked together, as Bill said. They're very good friends. I'm not sure that that's a huge concern. And I just think even if Bill O'Brien wasn't leaving, it's not a bad thing to have another very capable offensive-minded coach in the building, is it? I mean, as a consultant, as a
it depends. Like I said, there can at times be too many cooks, and you don't want that. You know,
I am not worried about that, just because
I'm not either.
I think Bill knows these guys very well, and I think the two guys know each other very well. So I think there's minimal chance that it becomes a negative. I agree with you. There's a chance for it, but I think it's pretty minimal.
Yeah, Paul.
I'm with you guys. So I think it's a little odd to bring a guy in.
I thought it was too,
but it's the perfect storm.
Yeah.
Literally the perfect storm.
It was an opportunity, and they took it.
It is pretty much a situation that is unprecedented, because this is a guy who, you know, he had ties to the team, the Patriots. He had ties to the team that they're playing. He was still under contract. It's just a very weird.
You drafted the guy. That,
it's a weird. To me, it's
the two guys, the stars of their getting into this game.
Coaches have gone to other teams, but they've been fired. You know,
right.
You know, like we talked about the one with Dallas, and you guys brought up Shanahan.
Mike Sando, who does the AFC West for ESPN, had a good post, I think it was yesterday, explaining that, you know, the only reason McDaniels wasn't fired along with everyone else is because he was under contract for another year. They didn't want to have to pay him.
Right.
So this way, the Rams don't have to pay him.
So he was essentially fired.
Right.
But they just wanted to make sure if we cannot pay him, we won't.
Right.
And we found a way to not pay him.
Right. So it's not like, you know, the Rams did anything underhanded with the Patriots and the insider trading.
Right.
In other words, it was, you know, an opportunity that the Patriots took advantage of.
And I don't think
it was unique.
The Rams didn't foresee this. Rams probably thought if he goes to Kansas City, and I don't know what he was making there, if he was making 1.2 and Pioli says, I'll hire you as my offensive coordinator for 800 grand. Well, the Rams now cut. Now they're only paying 400 grand instead of 800.
Right.
They didn't see, ooh, the perfect situation's New England where, you know, I just think they were hoping to get out from the money, and that's the only reason he wasn't fired.
So getting back to where we started with this thing, I think other than just creating a media story, I don't think that should be that much outrage at this.
No, I don't either.
You know?
The one thing I'll give Denver and especially Mike Kliss credit for is he wrote this before the Broncos won and before the Patriots even officially hired McDaniels. He wrote this Saturday before anything else. Now, he's rewritten it again for the paper today, and Woody Page wrote it again. But it's not like this was just Broncos-related.
Right.
He wrote this before the Broncos were in the game, and he even says all the postseason. He lists, you know, Josh with the Rams played like 5 postseason teams. He think they should all be protesting because he can add something because he played them once already.
Well, before you guys got here, No Sox was here, and he was just peppering me with questions, and he's thinking, you know,
on the air?
No.
Oh.
You know, and he said, you know, okay, so do they create now the McDaniels rule in the offseason? I said no, and the reason why is because these coaches have very little rights to begin with. You know, so, okay, McDaniels is probably in a better position, but what if it was an assistant like this guy Grantham, I guess in 2009 was hired just before the playoffs, and he had been fired, he's out of a job, but where do you draw the line? You know, these coaches have no rights, they're not allowed to unionize, and now they're stopping guys from moving from one team to another when they have the opportunity to do that. I don't think the league will move against the coaches in that type of mobility, because I could see a class action suit.
Well, plus, you're allowed to sign players, so why can't you sign a coach if he's available?
Right.
If he was fired or he's, you know, out there on the open market, you should be allowed to.
Right. So
I don't think most teams would, because you're not going to disrupt your system, your voices.
Right.
So
this isn't going to be rampant.
It polices itself.
Right.
It's like I said, it's a rare thing that you can get a guy that's not free.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's not going to happen. You're not going to go and get it. It's like Andy said. You can't get players from other teams because they're under contract.
Right.
Right.
You can get the scrap heap guys that are available.
Right.
And these guys are technically scrap heap coaches.
And again, you know, this is such a unique situation. Most of the time, a team's going into the playoffs, the last thing they want to do is bring in another guy.
Disruption.
Exactly. This was so unique. I don't think there is that fear that, oh, every year, every team that goes to the playoffs starts poaching guys from another team. Yeah. The team that they're being poached from has to give permission, and B, it is a disruption. So,
and C, the guy has to want to go there.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Right.
You know, they say rental players in baseball.
Right.
I don't think there wants to be rental coaches. If I'm a coach, I'm looking for my next job that I'm going to have for 5 years,
right,
not the job I'm going to have for 5 weeks,
right,
and then you're going to let go of me.
But at the same time, if the opportunity does present itself, you know, I don't think the league should stop a coach from hooking onto a team that could possibly win a Super Bowl.
That's my point. It polices itself because of all the circumstances.
Right. I agree.
Now, the one interesting thing is, like, Josh could get a Super Bowl ring. He didn't coach all year, and he could get a Super Bowl ring, right?
Right. That'll be the question.
Interesting.
Does he get one?
Yeah. Well, I would think so.
I would think so, too. You know?
If you're a player, you get brought in now, you get a Super Bowl ring.
Right.
And then all the other questions off it. Is he going to be in the press box? Is he going to be down on the field?
Right.
What's he going to be doing? When does he talk? Who does he talk to? We'll look at that later in the week, Bill.
Yeah, I'll keep him in the press box for now. I mean, the coaching box for now, I think. We don't need to see any fist pumping.
A side note on the press box. Is there rules? Could you put a coach
in? I think he just broke his record for for flipping.
I didn't even hear
you missed that.
Keep him in the
we don't need any
box.
We don't need any fist pumping
right now. Inside. We'll wait for that.
He's okay now.
Is there a specific rule you can't have coaches in the end zone, like up high? I've always wondered if, you know, because they use the all
whatever
22.
They do, they have to allow the other team to do as well.
Right.
Yes. So, like, for example, I know this year the Patriots moved their coach's box from mid-level in the stadium to way up top on the 50-yard line. They used to be in the club level, and when they redid the club on both sides of the stadium, they removed those coach's boxes for both teams, and they moved them way to the top of the stadium.
Like at the 300 level?
Yeah. Above the 300 level.
I didn't know that.
But whatever,
you don't share this stuff with us.
But whatever the Patriots, you know, both teams have to be there. It has to be equal.
But I was just wondering, like in the whatever that is, the north end zone where the little cutout of New England is for the video guys.
Those are the video guys.
If you wanted to allow each team to put an assistant coach there, I think that might be an interesting perspective.
I think it would be allowed as long as it was transparent and both teams had the equal opportunity. Yeah.
How come you didn't tell us about this coaching booth thing?
You never asked.
But you tell us to write stories that they painted the weight racks, but they moved the coaches' booth, something that I think could have been an off-season update, and you didn't tell us.
Okay, well, I don't know. Now you know.
Why don't you just say, you know what? I didn't even think of it.
I didn't.
You know, you're right.
Well, you yell at us when we don't even think to write about the weight racks being painted.
You yell at us a lot.
I should.
I'm yelling at you. When interesting information comes to you, can you give it to us so we can put it on the blog or the website?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Need to get all, you know, pissy about it.
Yeah, really.
Well, it's information. Oh, I forgot to tell you, we signed T.O.
No,
I mean,
but it's not exactly the same. I mean, it's not that pressing.
But in the offseason, it is. That's a nugget. That's an interesting, actual story.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Maybe this offseason, we go and actually see what the view is.
Ooh.
And we take
pictures. I don't like heights.
We take pictures and put it on the blog.
And that's way the F up there.
Well, they have binoculars.
No, I just don't want to go up there.
Yeah.
That's like in airplanes fly through range.
Well, it's not as high. Remember in the old Giants stadium, we were way up there.
I didn't care for that either.
The other one is the
I didn't care for that elevator ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Rams the Rams press box is way up there too.
That's high. Oh, yeah, the Rams one is. Yeah. The field, when you look down at the field, it's like a postage stamp.
Yeah. And you're straight down. You have to like lean over to so. All right.
Did you see my tweet last night? My wife happened to be watching E! News, I think it's called, E! News Live or whatever.
Yeah.
And they kept teasing Brady and Tebow. They're doing Blue Ivy, the baby was born, and they're doing all these things. And now, because Tebow and Brady are going head-to-head, it's an E! News story that, what's his name, Ryan Seacrest is talking about. And then the worst part of it is they tease you. They did the TV thing where it's 7:57, and there was no story. It was just, you know, Tebow and Brady are playing this week, and fans think Brady's going to win. But that's how big this game is. It's now like a tabloid type game.
Right. You want to get it mentioned, and no matter what, because it's a draw. You know.
Has anyone seen him play the quarterback position? He stinks.
Are you still on this? He's a winner.
Except when he was a loser and backed into the playoffs with three straight losses. When he threw four picks, and even Stats Inc. had to go back and change one. Oh, it wasn't four picks.
You can't tell
me
that he didn't step up in that game against Pittsburgh.
You know who stepped up?
He played well.
Demaryius Thomas. Beast mode.
Okay, well, he hit him right on the button.
Hashtag. That was a great throw. He had three great throws in that game.
He played well.
31.6 yards per
pass. I even said it on Twitter during the game.
I did too.
You know?
And people actually got mad at me. That's why I love our fans. No, that's not you, Andy. Don't admit you're wrong. If he sucks, stay with he sucks.
Give the guy some credit.
Right.
All right?
He's a Jag quarterback.
Now, Eric's going to be
completed
here later.
50% of his passes.
Eric was the only one of us that picked the Broncos.
He's a Broncos fan.
And, well, I think he's a Tim Tebow fan.
He's a God squatter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I want to ask him, whether or not. I don't know. Do you think he'll pick the Broncos to win the game?
So far, he's picked them twice this year in the playoffs, and he picked them to beat the
Patriots.
Because
if he does pick the Broncos, I want to know from him, is it because you really think the Broncos are a better team, or is it just this, you know, the whole
Do the Broncos squad. Have a chance to win? I know it's only Tuesday here, but do the Broncos have a chance to win this game?
Yes, they do. A 38.3% chance.
I thought it was 31.6.
Yeah, 38.3.
With this defense, every team has a chance.
Well, and also with the Broncos' defense, it's pretty good. Good enough to
I still insist that it's not.
Well, it's not great.
I mean,
it's
even with all of those guys out of the lineup, Pittsburgh still put 23 on the board.
It's middle of the pack. I think they have decent corners and decent pass rushers. And against this team, that could be enough.
Right.
I mean, if you can do it right and you can win those battles, that could be enough.
Yep.
They have to find a way. I mean, we have a lot of week to talk about this. They have to find a way to get pressure inside on Brady. It's not just going to be Miller and Dumerville.
Right.
Because we've seen many, many bookend pass rushes, even very good ones that have had good games against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Generally, that's not enough. But
that's
assuming
of health.
But if you
also have health issues on the offensive line.
Well, yeah, but if you're Denver, if you can combine Dumerville and Miller causing problems for the tackles with, say, a guy like Andy just said, Robert Ayers or Broderick Bunkley inside, that's what ball. I mean, Terrell Suggs has good games against the Patriots, but I think it's partly because he's a really good player and partly because Haloti Ngata is always crashing the pocket. So Brady doesn't have any way to go. I think that's why he, in particular, seems to give more problems than other guys that do that.
I think both teams going into this game can't overthink it. They just have to do what they do. I think Denver goes into this game just like they went into the last game, try to run the ball, don't turn it over, but try to extend those drives, limit the amount of times that Brady has the ball. That's their chance of winning.
Well, I don't even think it's that. I think it's the first thing you said. You got to do what you do.
Do what you do, and that's what they do.
You can't come out and say, I'm going to spread it out and let Tebow throw 50.
That's what they do.
It's because he can't. If he was able, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But he
can't.
For an argument's sake.
He had his best game, and he completed 50% of his passes.
But just for argument's sake, if they had played Houston next week in the AFC title game, I could see Gary Kubiak saying, you know what? We're not going to be able to just sit there and turn around and hand the ball off to Arian Foster every play. Well, it's not going to work. We're going to have to, instead of T.J. Yates throwing the ball 20 times, we're going to have to ask him to throw it 32, 35 times.
Yep. But so
but Tebow cannot do
right.
that.
So I think the Broncos can't overthink it. Just do what they do. Try to limit Brady possessions. I think for the Patriots, it's the same thing. Don't overthink this. Don't go crazy like Pittsburgh and put 9 in the box and overplay the run with the fear of, you know, them beating you, because they will beat you.
Right.
They're going to beat you. Play it safe. Keep those two safeties back. Keep everything in front of them. If they want to drive the ball down the field, try to stop them, obviously, but you might not. Get them in the red zone. Keep them to 3 points. Don't overthink it.
I'll tell you what not to do. Don't come out in a 4-3 front with Rob Ninkovich as your left defensive end, because that's what they did last time. And he got effing killed.
Yeah.
On those early big runs, McGahee and the other guy, Rob Ninkovich looked like he didn't belong in an NFL field. He was getting killed over
there. You think Spikes helps this game?
He doesn't hurt.
He doesn't play that much.
And as Bill said today, I wouldn't expect.
Zinger. Did you hear that?
Yeah, but he's being, you know, kind of smart alecky. Obviously, he hasn't played a lot. But he's
annoyed by the fact that he doesn't play.
Right.
That was a shot.
But do you think that's
that was a message? Well, I shouldn't say a shot.
Is that
a message.
Prophetic, though? Do you think he knows something about coming up this week that maybe he's not going
to
play that
much?
I think
it was a message to the player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
get
he was
and stay the bleep on the field.
Yeah. So are we? So okay. So going back to last game, he played a lot in the first half, didn't play much at all, if at all, in the second half. Is that because he tweaked something and Belichick is frustrated with him, and it wasn't a monitor thing?
It's possible. I have no information, so I don't know.
You know, sounds like to me that might be
I would think that this is the kind of game that Spikes would be more valuable.
I would think so, too.
If he's fully healthy.
Chung is always valuable.
Chung, yeah.
Because he's always one of your top two safeties.
I agree. But you're right. The style of play
would
be more conducive to Chung running around by the line of scrimmage making tackles.
Right.
Freddie, speaking of safety position, I spoke with Devin McCourty for the interview.
I saw you. Did you see her? You didn't see it, but Hernandez was behind you trying to make him laugh.
And he made and he made me mess up once. And he was in one of those, I still say, why do they give him such small towels? Those little teeny tiny towels. They don't make it around them.
Right. It's they're like handy wipes.
Yes.
You know, like these gyms everywhere. They have these little, you know, face cloths that they put. Really? Just give him a regular towel.
And he was, we were waiting for him to leave.
Plus, you're in the gym. You're probably trying to lose weight, so you need a bigger towel.
Well, myself, definitely. But
well, then the issue is most of the old men don't use them. They just throw them over their shoulder and walk around naked. They're nuts hanging out for everybody to see. It's true.
All right.
Or even shave. I like the ones that lean on the counter and shave with the towel on their shoulder, and their nuts and ass just hanging out, just shaving.
I don't want to see that. What do you go to, like, Greek spas?
I go to Gold's Gym.
It's not a Russian bathhouse.
Gold's Gym right down the street. All the fat old men shave with a towel over their shoulder
who
and nothing.
Who shaves naked?
Yeah.
Fat old men down at the gym.
Again, where are you going?
Gold's Gym right down the street from this facility.
You sure it's not Bold's Gym?
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
They're bold. I don't know. It wasn't good. All right. Let's take a break. It is 12:25.
It wasn't good.
To all the phone calls and emails when we come back.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think, girl? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Mmm, these Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football.
and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
I got is an awesome guy.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. A lively show so far, some good discussion. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And warning, Andy has eaten some Papagino's pizza, so.
Lord only knows what's going to be shooting out my Battissimo later.
Let's go to the phones. Dwight's in Alabama. Hey, Dwight.
Hello.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, you're not a Roll Tide fan.
No, he's the only guy in Alabama who doesn't care.
Yes. With Josh McDaniels coming back and what the offense already does, what more can he do to it for formations and personnel groupings? What more could he possibly do that's already there?
Well, I know fans are hoping that it's the return of the screen pass, because that was such a staple when McDaniels was here and even when Weiss was here. And it kind of, they've gotten away from it a little bit, especially the running back screen. There's been some wide receiver screens, tight end screens. Some fans are hoping for the running back screen.
I think once game day comes, not much. I think during the week, again, if O'Brien's a little bit distracted, he might be a good sounding board for Brady. Other than that, I don't see him being that much.
No, I don't either.
You know?
Long term, yes, next year. Because people have said, you know, even Deion Branch coming back, you know, this offense is a lot different than when I left. And I think Josh is going to find that out to some degree. It's different. It's morphed. You know, Bill O'Brien's put his spin on it. The changing in the league has put spin on it. The tight ends, the personnel has put a different spin. So I think Josh will learn the new system, and then I think he's a smart offensive guy. He'll tweak it. He'll add some of his own, and he'll take advantage of things he has. But you're right. For 5 days that he's here, I don't think you're going to see a huge impact.
Well, did you hear what the first thing he said when he walked in? What happened to Randy?
Wow.
So that's a – I'm only kidding.
He didn't say – see, but that's how people think that's true, and it's not true. He didn't say that. Wow. So stop wowing.
Wow. No, I think that with him coming back, it'll help us in trying to figure out, hopefully, what the Broncos are going to do. Maybe he can give some insight and all this other stuff with the Broncos.
See, I don't think he can.
Yeah, I don't either.
He's a year and a half. Tebow was not playing when he, you know. Well, he played a couple games, right?
He like 4 or 5 games. He played a little
bit. But they hadn't revamped the offense like they did now. It's a completely different playbook.
His help will be personnel-wise. He drafted both of them, so he did a lot of work on them. So maybe Thomas, he knows certain things, tendencies. I don't know, anything. But, I think that's minimal. I really do.
I don't think it's – yeah, go ahead.
And with the playoffs like they were on Saturday, it seems like it's perfect for the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl. The Broncos won. Hopefully the Texans will beat the Ravens, and it is a clear, clean shot to the Super Bowl.
All right.
Could be.
All right,
that's what I said.
Thanks
on,
for the call.
When I set it up for my From the Heart last week, my best case scenario was exactly what unfolded for the
Patriots. I think the Patriots would be going regardless. whether it was Pittsburgh and Baltimore or Houston and Pittsburgh.
85 Bears, 2000 Ravens.
Big tough guy now.
No, with the teams that are, you know, the competition this year, I think the Patriots had a good chance. You know, this whole path of least resistance, let's get over that. Patriots are a good team. They're the number one seed for a reason in this league. So get over that.
He's back, baby. He's raping and pillaging.
Absolutely.
Even when they're down 21-0, he's raping and pillaging.
Because I know we're going to come back. There was something else I was going to say. I forgot.
Lord only knows.
Yeah.
Fred Kirsch and his unique
Pats.
Brand of Patriots Radio.
Go Pats.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Let's go to Jeff in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Fantastic. Very exciting. It's Tebow Mania out here in Vegas.
Is it? Enough to move the line from 13.5?
Probably not. That seems pretty settled. But that money line at plus 600 on Denver, literally getting 6-1. If you know, God forbid, the unthinkable could ever happen.
You know, if I was a Denver Bronco fan, that's worth a $100 bet. I think
it certainly is, especially with the Patriots.
That.
Defense, Denver's pass rush. You saw the blueprint of McGahee running it down. You know, Minkovich's throat, as Andy referred to. So, might not be, as a Patriot fan, you're guaranteed either an appearance in the AFC Championship game or getting a massive return on a small little play, if you will.
Sure. Did I ever tell you the story of 96? I went to Vegas before that season.
Yes. Okay. No, Fred, go ahead.
No, everyone else has heard it. Sorry, Jeff.
You can tell it. Go ahead.
All right. No, I went to Vegas before the 96 season, and the Patriots were 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. So I said, what the hell? And I put $100 down. Forgot about it. I'm sitting in New Orleans, and the Patriots were up, what is it,
14-10 after
14-10
one.
14-10 after one. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have a 40-1 ticket on $100. I could win $4,000. And Len Sarasula was – sitting next to me, goes, I'll buy half of that from you right now. I said, nope. Well, I'm keeping it. Well, but that was my story.
Yeah, I got.
Wait,
I got
so he wanted to give you just $20?
No, $50.
Want to buy half the ticket?
Want to buy half the ticket from me?
I thought you said 40.
I wouldn't have given it to him either.
I got him. They were actually 20-1 at one point in 2004, which I thought was a good value. That one came through. Also, guys, this is such a
you got
gigantic.
The Patriots for the Super Bowl in 2004 at 20-1.
Yes, the second year. Well, you know, it was the 2004-2005 season. It was ridiculous. It was midway through the season.
That's insane.
Who'd you get that from? Joey Chestnut?
Yeah, I was like, gamble here, with a neon sign. I mean,
but
20-1 for 2004.
Yeah,
that was a wagon.
Yeah, no, they still aren't getting respect. They still weren't, you know, Rodney was always pounding the drum there, and that's part of the
reason. Yeah, they got so little respect that they were favored on the road in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I know, Paul, and I know you.
I mean, 2003, Jeff, is the year that Andy Hart, after week four, when they were 2-2, declared the season over and that they should just play for a draft pick. So if you told me you got 20-1 that year, I would definitely buy it. In 2003, people were sort of questioning the defense. They got a lot of turnovers, you know, kind of like now, only they actually got stops in addition to turnovers. Some people weren't really believing. In 2004.
Snide.
Yeah.
In 2004, they were an absolute wagon.
They don't like him on the internet when he does that.
I think in 2004, they were an absolute machine.
Yeah.
They lost one game when they just kind of went to sleep in the fourth quarter against Miami. And they had the one other loss to Pittsburgh. They were dominant that year.
But before the season, Paul, before the season, they were getting no respect. So I
wow, that's funny. That's
a little,
that's a great
slanted.
That's a great pickup, Jeff. Great. I mean, 20-1 for a team like that to me is. I mean, what were they this year? Like 3-1?
Five.
I mean, which team do you think was better?
Right.
Heading into the season, 0-4 or this one? I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's completely.
That's like stealing, Jeff. No wonder why you're swimming in it.
Exactly. Super quick. It does set up a massive, pregame show, which is going to be Saturday night at about 6 p.m. Eastern time?
6 p.m., right. 6 to 8.
5:45.
Yeah, that's going to be
kickoff's
gigantic.
At 8:15. But whatever you want to do.
Well, no, I think 6 is better. Tell people at 6. That's
to
a
eight.
Nice round number.
Yeah, kickoff is at 8:15. That's confirmed.
6
yeah,
o'clock.
Really? It's 8:15?
8:15.
6 o'clock, pregame social. On Twitter, it's the hashtag PPGS. I want this to be the biggest, the best Tebow rip job on the planet.
Yeah, I think we can. It's the world's largest Tebow rip job.
That's right.
All right, thanks for the call, Jeff. Paul, what's wrong with 8:15?
I thought it was a
Northeastern hockey game.
No, I thought it was. Listen, whenever they play at night, the earlier the better, Fred. I thought 15 minutes matters.
Yeah, it does.
You know, it matters getting home. You know, I mean, even.
Yeah,
even 15 minutes
we're
at, that,
just,
at that
we're
time.
We're just going to plow it out, regardless of the.
No,
outcome.
No. If we win,
we have to wait Sunday. Until
yeah,
we find
if
out.
If we win, we got to wait. We can't finish, so we'll just come back in on Sunday. If we lose, then we'll just plow it.
You
out.
Don't have a police concert on Sunday or anything, right?
I might,
because we're going to need to be here most of the afternoon.
On Sunday?
Into the evening.
Fortunately, the Sunday game is the 1 o'clock game on Sunday.
Well, you could actually come in Monday and just read the pages if you want early Monday morning. That's however you want to do it is up to you.
And the game. The AFC game is at 1 o'clock, Houston-Baltimore,
right.
On Sunday. So by 4:15, we'll be in the writing process and hopefully wrap it all up.
Can you imagine? Just imagine, if you will. I know.
Imagine if you will.
No, but if it's Tim Tebow versus TJ, what's his name, Lang?
Yates.
TJ Lang? Who's TJ Lang?
I have no idea.
Can you imagine if that's the AFC title game, though? This year of the quarterback, and it's Tebow, the guy who can't throw.
Alex Smith.
Right,
and Alex Smith will be in it on the other side.
And I didn't even know the whole TJ Yates story, like, he's a nobody. He wasn't any good in college. He sucked. Nobody wanted him. He liked, you know, one year.
He wasn't a terrible college quarterback.
I don't think so. I think he had less than 1 year, and they didn't even want him as the starter.
He wasn't great, that's for sure.
I believe it's
he was a fifth-round pick.
Yeah,
that would be funny.
Yeah, the year of the quarterback, my ass.
But as Shalise Manza-Young also said, this is the first time that there are four former MVPs playing in the playoffs as quarterbacks. Right now,
Rodgers, Breeze,
Brady,
and Manning.
And Manning.
Well, he was never an MVP.
Super Bowl MVP.
Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay.
Well, you don't like that stat?
No, when you say MVP,
fun fact.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But when you say MVPs, I was thinking MVP of the league, I was like, well, Rodgers hasn't won yet.
No, Super Bowl.
And I don't, you know, I can only come up with two. That's why I was giving you the quizzical look. Actually, has Breeze hasn't won an MVP yet, has he?
Of the league?
Not a regular
just
season.
Just Brady.
Right,
yeah.
Funny thing happened on the way to that stat.
Did you hear the note about him? I found you know, you like the NFL car wash at ESPN?
Yeah.
And they were asking Trey Wingo.
Trey Wingo actually
said
that today.
And he said Breeze, he thinks, is going to be a very good analyst. And he said the only thing he asked for when he went to Bristol for the car wash was 90 minutes to work out and then 30 minutes with somebody and a football so I can do my throwing for the day.
Somebody to catch the ball for
so
me.
So in the
so
middle of his car wash, he said he went out on the quad there. And Drew Breeze was just throwing with whoever they assigned to play catch with Drew Breeze for
That's
30
fun.
Minutes.
Was it Tank? Frank the Tank? Oh, no,
he wasn't there.
He's with the NFL.
But I just think that's funny because I thought they were going to get all like diva-ish. He made sure there were no green M&Ms. I just need a football and a guy to throw it to.
Abe writes, and Josh McDaniels coming back is the best thing that's happened to the Patriots in a long time. Just as good a move as it was signing Randy Moss. So.
Okay. If it has the type of instant impact on the offense, then they might. Your score might come true, Fred, 66-6.
Jake wants to know, why on the preview for Football Night in New England, when they show PFW, is Andy sporting a ladybug on his shoulder? I never noticed that.
I've never noticed it, but I remember the day you guys were saying there's
Absolutely.
A ladybug on your
there's
shoulder.
There's a ladybug on your
out
shoulder.
Out there.
Yep. We were outside on the
TV.
Field.
It made it to TV.
We're outside on the field. There was a ladybug on your
guy
shoulder.
Must have an HD TV.
I think there's a lot of
really, really good one.
I think there's a lot of little things that are missed on our shows.
This guy worries me a little bit. He's looking that close that he noticed a lady. Psycho. Ching, ching, ching.
Actually,
crazy.
It might have been just Paul's head compared to yours.
It's not good. That's as bad as
Fred,
bowl or mole or whatever.
No.
Why don't you take the rest of the day off from comedy? Let Eric handle it when he gets
You're struggling
here.
Today. Yeah, stick it. Keep everything.
I think I heard
Keep all
Derek
your energy.
Derek from University of Arizona laughed.
Okay, he came back nice with that one. Keep all your energy for your Eric Grill.
You all right, Paul?
Did you hear that screech out there?
Jonathan just entered the stadium at about 100.
Keep all your energy to grill Eric when he gets in, because I'm really curious to see how he reacts to your line of thinking. I don't think you're wrong, by the way. I think you're dead on with this one.
Is Eric a Christian?
Oh, yes.
Well, didn't we get into that whole thing about Catholic versus
Catholicism
Christian?
And Christianity are the same thing.
But I think he, you know,
I'm not sure
the whole Jesus thing.
I'm not sure he's a Christian, but I agree with Fred.
Yeah.
Well, I thought they were like synonyms until you
our
guys said they're
not. Our God is an awesome God for all of them.
Yes, but they're not. They're all based on Christianity, but Christians would say there's a difference between being Catholic and Christian.
So would Catholics.
Right.
Okay. I mean, hey, we got to the right part right off.
You know,
the
whole Protestant movement came as an offshoot and a protest to Catholicism.
Oh, yeah, we got back to this. I'm a Christian because I'm Protestant.
Right.
Except I'm really a deist, you told me.
I didn't say that. I was corrected. I said you were agnostic, and somebody else corrected me and said you were a deist.
And Fred just wanted to get back to Star Wars.
That's a weight lifted from my shoulders. Now I know my faith and what I believe in because somebody told me on the internet.
Maybe we should change the introduction song for the Patriots to the intro to, you know, Star Wars. You know, and the Patriots could come off out to the theme song to
when
Star Wars.
In all seriousness, Fred, do you think it's time to sort of change up some of those things at the stadium?
I do, and, you know, Paul Prost is the new entertainment director. Maybe we can get him in at some point this week.
During the off season.
No.
It's a freaking playoff game.
We got a big home game coming up. Why not?
We're not going to change everything.
We're not going to change anything now.
Stop. Off season. That's an off season.
I'm not saying we're going to talk about changing anything.
See, I was making a legitimate thing. It seems
I am too.
We do off the same
season.
Yeah. Oh no. But I'm just saying for the here and now. Not that we're going to change it Saturday.
I'm not even saying logistically. If you're a 13-3 football team, you don't change your intro music before your playoff game.
I'm only kidding
These
about
are creatures
that.
Are
obviously,
habit.
No this one's changing special, the intro this, song this, to Star Wars.
This is a little something special coming up about 20 seconds before kickoff.
Firecracker one.
Not one.
Some guy with a sparkler.
Me down there with a sparkler.
Last time we had pyrotechnics, I literally bent down to pick a book up, and I looked up, and everybody's like, did you see that? No, I didn't. It went so fast.
That's what she said.
Kevin just turns around and puts his back to you
because he's all excited.
Screw you guys. I'm going back to the internet.
I have better fireworks at my mom's house on 4th of July.
Oh, man. And that was in the bathroom.
No, that'll be this afternoon in the bathroom.
He's coming back.
Brenton, Illinois.
It'll start
says,
as air and end as liquid.
Do you guys think that Elway was mad that he's now stuck with Tebow when he was about to have an out if he flopped last week? I think he had mixed emotions. Also, how mad would Pats fans have been if since he won on Saturday? I think that would have been a harder draw than the Broncos. Seems like everything is falling into place for a run to Indy, and being in Chicago, I'm only a ride away.
I used to buy into the Elway was lukewarm. I think he's bought all in now. I think he believes. I don't think that excitement you saw from him was manufactured in any way. I think he's starting to just say, I'm going to hitch my wagon to this guy. Maybe we can go to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I'm
not talking about his skills. I'm talking about
I'm right in the middle of you. I think on Sunday, Andy's absolutely right.
You can't fake that.
I think Elway, you can't fake that. First of all, it's arguably the most dramatic ending of a playoff game ever. So I don't know how you cannot have been swept up in that. I was swept up in it, and I'm sitting, you know, 2,500 miles away.
You were rooting for the Steelers.
You know, not toward the end. Toward the end, I think I had come to the realization that this is, like, unbelievable what Tebow was doing. I tweeted. I told you, you had sent something out about, wow, he actually made an NFL throw there, and I jumped on with you. I mean, it was hard not to get swept up into what was happening. It was a great game. Mm-hmm. It was a great event. But I'm not sure that Elway is thinking that he feels any better about it long term than he does than he did going in. I kind of agree with the emailer. I think that there's probably part of him that's saying, geez, you know, if he had just gone 10 for 21 for 116 yards instead of 316 yards, you know, there's my out. You know, he can't do it. But now he's probably going to face even more pressure. And he knows that, and that's probably
he can't get rid of it.
They're in a PR pickle.
Oh, listen, I personally don't think he's going to be their quarterback by the end of next year.
He might not be, but he can't get rid of him. He can't bring in Andrew Luck. He can't bring in an obvious successor. He's going to have to bring in just a veteran backup who may unseat him.
See, that's the problem for Elway, is he's won enough.
Either way, he's not going to win at all.
He's won enough to prevent him from getting the successor.
Right.
You know, in a traditional way.
Right.
You can always get lucky.
No, he may be looking for the true successor after next year. After Tebow starts 7 games and Jeff Garcia starts 9. Not really him, but that type of person.
I know what you mean.
Starts 9 and then you go, well, now we need a quarterback.
Because I don't think they can go out and get like a Matt Flynn.
No.
You know, I don't think they can go out and sign a guy like that. But do you, you know, and I also don't think you can draft a guy late in the first round, like a Ryan Tannehill. I heard someone mention today, I think Mita Parel mentioned him on the radio this morning. I don't think you can do that.
No. You hope that RG3 goes back.
That's not
and then
a.
You suck and go get him.
That's not a sure thing. Andrew Luck, you can sell to your fan base. Say, listen, I know Tebow's brought excitement, but this guy's going to bring us to right. the next level.
But it's not
you
fair
can't
to,
make that argument with a guy like Ryan Tannehill.
But it's also not fair to Andrew Luck, because no matter how assumed everybody is that he's going to be great, the fan base
got
to
win
in
from
Tebow.
Day one.
Right. Any little hiccup,
yep.
they'll be calling for Tebow because they buy in. They love him. Even though he stinks, they love him.
Nathan is sending in via email a peremptory scold.
For me.
He says, last time we played the Broncos, we spent so much time talking about Tebow religion, if he's a fraud as a person as well as a quarterback,
yep.
and the publicity he gets, and not nearly as much time dissecting the Patriots versus Broncos game. I would appreciate the show much more if we broke down the Patriots and Broncos rather than spending 2 hours talking about the Broncos have no shot and how much Tebow sucks. I thought that the Jets last year had about as good a shot as last year as the Broncos do this year, and look what happened to us. Do whatever you want, but I thought you might appreciate some feedback.
Well, it would help if you actually brought something up in your email that was a discussion point.
Well,
you know, do you think McCourty...
I think we went over. I gave you my game plan for both teams.
Well, I know, but you don't want to summarize the week in 10 minutes.
Well, I would also argue with him, you know, what is it? Do you want us to break down the football game, or do you want us to talk about Denver having a chance to do something with Tebow? Because I don't think – I think they're two different things.
No, I would just
I think
like
from a football perspective, the reason I don't think Denver can win is because Tebow can't throw the ball well enough to beat them.
Right, and if Houston was coming here, we'd be talking about T.J. Yates. It's just not as interesting.
By the way, one of the negative questions that I didn't ask McCourty that I was thinking about was like an Ike Taylor question. After last week, Ike Taylor had to come out and apologize to Steelers fans for how poorly he played. Any fear that that could be you in a week?
Oh, jeez.
Well, I mean – It's a if he plays corner, it's a scary situation. You've given up big plays all year, especially to big receivers. You've struggled, and a big receiver is coming off maybe the greatest game that a big receiver could have with four catches for 204 yards, including an 80-yard game-winning overtime touchdown. I mean, Demaryius Thomas is one of the, you know, we've talked about it before, Larry Fitzgerald, you know, Sean Green. There's these guys that just pop up and have huge postseasons. He put the first game in place to being that guy for this year.
Yeah.
And now the Patriots secondary is in his sights.
Right. Yeah, and it's not – listen, I mean, I understand what you're saying, the religion part of Tebow. That has nothing to do with the game. But the Tebow stuff has everything to do with the game. It's not that we're focusing just on Tebow. It's we're looking at it saying, look what Pittsburgh did. Pittsburgh spent the game playing zero coverage, no safety help, and they dared them to beat them, and they couldn't do it. I mean, I'm sorry. Pittsburgh couldn't
right.
stop them the last
right.
three quarters because they kept making themselves vulnerable to those throws. I don't think Belichick will do that.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I'd be stunned if Belichick did that.
I agree.
I think that he's going to play a traditional, keep everything in front. For as bad as the secondary's been all season, they haven't allowed a lot of long throws for touchdowns. They've been, you know, some pass interference
They've
penalties
allowed long throws,
and stuff like
but
that.
But not for touchdowns.
But
right.
they haven't gotten, I mean, what was it, five? Five plays, I think, Tebow completed of 30 yards or more
yeah,
or something
right.
like that. I'd be stunned if that happens. Now, he's a downfield thrower. That's what he does. And Bill has said that three times this week already.
Well, he's a college quarterback.
That's what he does. You know, so I would be surprised if Bill was so aggressive like Dick LeBeau. I can understand why LeBeau had the game plan that he did. I can't understand why he never got out of it.
Yeah.
Regardless of how many guys they were losing on defense,
right.
he stuck with that same thing.
Well, all the more reason when you start losing those guys to get
now I'm on my toes. When did he walk in?
I noticed you started stumbling when Teddy Bruschi was behind the glass. You made him uncomfortable. You were like a quarterback.
I had a Vietnam flashback of a headlock.
But you know what I think is interesting about Thomas is I remember when we did our draft prep on him, I didn't love him because I thought he was an option-based wide receiver who was a big receiver who they would just chuck it up to him deep down the field.
Yes, and that's all he could do.
Well, he hasn't had to adjust because now they're starting
an
option team
now.
And they just chuck it down the field to him.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Hey, I got the nod of approval from Teddy Bruschi. The Teddy Bruschi agreed with that.
508-298-0398.
I'm not impressed.
Bad Kevin's on the line. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, Fred?
How you doing? You haven't called in a while.
I have not. Hey, Paul, how are you?
It's been a great show.
Hey, Bad Kevin.
Bad Kevin, stick it.
Hey, D-bag.
Good to hear your voice.
Hey, I got a couple things. First one, Fred.
Yeah?
You and Josh kissed and made up.
That seems to be the way we're going here, Kevin.
depends on what happens.
I remember
this weekend.
A rant 2 years ago about Josh McDaniels.
I stick by that. I stick by it.
What are you sticking by? What do you recall?
He pumped his fist too many times, and he shook hands with people by our bus.
No, you win. Look, when you got your speech, listen. This is the same thing with Schwartz and Harbaugh. When you win a game in the NFL as a head coach, great. It's a great thing. It's unbelievable. But you always have to remember that there's a guy on the other side that just lost, and it's hurting him so you have to comport yourself. You know, you have to rein it down while you're with them. When you get into your own locker room, do whatever you want.
What about outside the other team's bus?
Yeah, no, you don't. You know,
he was really mad.
Don't do that,
Kevin.
Okay?
If you could have seen how red Fred's head was on
that
bus,
that may be as mad as he's ever been.
You were as angry at that game
about how inappropriate it was, and
I've never seen it before.
The kissing made up.
Let me ask you a quick question. Yeah. If you walk into the mailroom after this show and Josh McDaniels is standing there, would you say something about
that? Hi, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
You're such a fraud.
Just like when Lawyer was in Atlanta.
You're such a fraud. He doesn't need to hear from me. Who the hell am I?
That's what I've been saying for years, but.
Hey, buddy of mine are sitting here. We got a question for Paul.
Uh-oh. Yeah? Why do I have a feeling I'm going to be made look bad?
In the playoffs, that 1, 2, 3, and 4 have made it both sides.
I don't have the answer to that. Sorry. I didn't.
Thought you would.
No, I know. I feel like I let you down.
Where's the record and fact book? You can find it quickly.
What's the answer?
But you know what I mean, right?
Yeah. I know what the question is. I don't know the answer.
Something,
I'll look it up. I'll see if we have a record and fact book.
In 06, I think.
Thanks for the call, Kevin.
I saw a recent note where they alluded to something like that, and it said 06, but I have no idea if that's the
answer. No Sox had a good trivia question for me that I answered right on the nose. How many playoff – Brady has won, I think, 19 playoff games. How many of those playoff games has he passed for 300 or more yards?
Four.
Well, close. I missed that question.
Brady has won 19 playoff games. How many of those has he passed for more than 300 yards?
Three is
the correct answer.
I knew the answer to that because I heard it, I think, the other day.
So,
does he have 19 playoff wins?
It was something
wins?
Like that. Yeah,
I thought
it was
no, games.
Games, games,
yeah.
games.
He has 10 wins, I believe.
No, he has 14. Because didn't he go 10-0?
Maybe
and then,
it was 14. I don't know.
And then like 4-5 in his last nine.
I think you're right. You're right. 14-5. You're right.
So 19 games. Yeah. Brian in Baltimore, I'm feeling great about this weekend. I'm happy for Tebow, and although I love the Patriots, I can't help but kind of like Tebow and how he plays. First of all, we know he can't throw.
How do you like the way he plays?
First of all, we know he can't throw NFL passes unless it's a deep ball, but he can't read coverages well. He doesn't do well standing in the pocket, but he fights, and as a football fan, you got to like the way he competes and goes all out on every play.
That's why he's in the league.
Plus, it's just funny seeing him beat teams like the Jets and Steelers. Every time I've seen him play and beat those teams, I end up laughing so hard it's great. I'm very confident it won't be enough this weekend because, come on, enough is enough. But if the Donkeys weren't playing my Patriots, I'd be rooting for them. I would be too. Anyway,
all depends on who they're playing against.
Anyway, yeah, the Jets. Anyway, with that,
I would be rooting for them against the Jets. Absolutely,
right, absolutely.
I wouldn't be rooting for them against Baltimore or against Houston.
Well, I would. Or early in the game against Pittsburgh.
until Pittsburgh lost all their players.
Anyway, with that being said, enough of this guy. The Broncos underdog story has run its course, and the other part of me just thinks like everyone else. He just sucks, and he's a lucky SOB. So I hope he gets pounded this weekend, and Brady will show why he is who he is, and the Tebow show will be over. Amen.
Did you see the note pregame? And I don't want to get this wrong, but I believe it was the last rookie to start a game after having completed a season, completing less than 50% of his passes. It was Scott Zolak. Whatever the answer was, whatever the exact stat was, Scott Zolak was the answer. Started a playoff game after a bad regular season.
Oh, the last guy then, not rookie.
Or whatever, yeah. Maybe it was quarterback.
Wow, he completed I'm going to make fun of Zoe for that. He completed less than 50% of
I
his passes
so.
That year?
Or whatever the number was, the answer was Zoe.
Remember he had the great game against San Francisco here, Freddie?
At the end I have some good game. Stories.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a good soundbite.
That was a great game. Great game for
they're
Pete
out of control,
Carroll,
but, you know.
That San Francisco game was my first game ever.
You were at that game?
It was my first game as a kid.
I remember
like stories.
I was waiting for him to say, you know, when he came up to me.
Well,
gave
no,
me his
I was
glove
I was in
game.
Like I remember my dad. I was like all upset and didn't want to go to the game because Bledsoe wasn't playing. I was like, I got screwed.
Smart man.
I don't want to drive live listeners away, and I do believe for the first time ever, the ESPN Boston radio show is better than ours right now, because I just saw Teddy Bruschi walk into the studio and then Mike Reese. So if you actually want to hear live Patriots coverage,
what are you doing?
Go over there. Listen
what are you
to
doing?
Us. Most of our listeners are on the podcast. This just shows I can be
Fred.
Open and honest.
Yeah, that's
they got a good radio show going on over there. What do you want me? I can see Teddy Bruschi and Mike Reese. They're going to break down the Pats. Go there live. Come back, because they don't put their show up on podcasts like we do. They can listen to us later.
They get Bruschi and Reese. We couldn't even get Mike Kliss.
Yeah. That's Kliss.
Eric's been trying to get a Kliss all his life.
Oh, see now.
You always got to take it a step too far.
We get him tomorrow.
Are we going to talk to him? Now, can I make comments like that when he's on the air?
12:30 tomorrow, Andy.
What do you think?
Taylor writes in, you guys kill me every day. Keep doing what you're doing. Last week, after we beat the Bills and headed to the postseason,
Teddy Bruschi's on over there.
I jumped online and bought Super Bowls 36, 38, and 39. I love New England, and I'm a diehard fan, but I was 10 during Super Bowl 36 and not too familiar with that roster. After watching these DVDs and looking back at the Ty Law, Rodney Harrison, Antoine Smith era, can't help but think things are not much different now. The majority of those games were won in the last few minutes or in OT. I feel like this come-from-behind trend we're on is not a weakness but a show of power. At the end of the day, it's not about how we win or how many minutes of the game we're winning. When the clock hits zero in the fourth quarter and the Patriots have more points on the board than the other guy, that's all that counts. We're going to the Super Bowl this year, no doubt in my mind.
It's a
good thing Teddy
Bruschi's
on another radio show right now, because he would have been very offended by that comment.
And players in this locker room, I mean, I asked Brian Waters, and I even posed it, saying, I'm being overly optimistic here, but is it good to prove you can do all these comebacks? And he said, well, I guess theoretically, but you don't want to be coming back. You want to be leading.
Right.
That's and that power. Team, and that 2001 team didn't do a lot
power
of that.
Power is not, oh, I'm going to let you get 21 points and then I'll start playing.
That's resiliency.
Power is going up 21-0 and putting your foot on their throat and ending it. Power is 2007 early in the year. That's power.
Let's go to the phones, 508-298-0398. Chris with a TIAN. Christian, how you doing?
Still amazed. It's unbelievable. I can't believe they won.
Who?
That was quite Denver.
Okay. Denver.
Hello.
You got to really spell it out.
Oh, I can't believe we beat Buffalo in the finale.
I was standing up cheering for Demaryius Thomas to score. Like, I don't know what overcame me, but.
So was Brandon Spikes, and he's got to play against them this week.
They got a shot. I mean, they do have a shot. Listen, Patriots don't beat this team, then they didn't deserve to be in the playoffs as far as I'm concerned. You have the lowest rated team. You know,
in the Wilson Hart Power Index,
in the history of playoff football,
not the Wilson Throw a Dot Index.
The Wilson Hart,
good Christian.
And
good
by the
Christian.
Way, they wouldn't be in the history of the Wilson Hart because last year's Seahawks were ranked 27th. Interesting. Both won their first round playoff game. Interesting.
Well, is that showing how bad the Wilson Hart?
No, it's showing how bad you are.
Both against teams that were ridiculously beat up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen, Pittsburgh was beat up, but that kid made some throws. He went 10-for-21, obviously less than 50%, like you said, but.
He played well.
That throw to Royal in the corner of the end zone.
Great throw. He played very well. I give him credit.
And the
for
game
it.
Winner,
very well.
Hitting a guy in stride so that he can run and score the game winner is not easy. Ask Rohan Davey. Ask some of these guys that physically can't do it. I'd say Drew Bledsoe might not be able to do it.
Oh, stop it, please. He completes that one in his sleep.
Yeah, to the other team.
Zero coverage. When he didn't have to worry about the safety coming over, he puts that one right there.
He would be going, pressure.
And then he goes down slowly like a tree.
Yeah, that was Drew's problem. He couldn't handle the pressure. Good call.
Head case.
Hey, leave Bledsoe alone. He was all right.
Thank you, Christian.
Just leave him alone.
He was our, would say, good, Christian.
He was our strong arm stiff.
He soaks corks now, right?
He does. He's a cork soaker.
Yeah. The one question I had,
to me.
The whole McDaniels thing was, if any other, what's he going to bring this week in, as far as the personnel decision, college and all that on the personnel. And the second thing is, are you guys worried at all that there could be a sort of Bill O'Brien wants to call one thing and McDaniel says, don't run that, do this? Is there any chance of that sort of thing happening?
No.
I think that parameter has to be set right from the beginning that that cannot happen. That cannot happen.
But how's the play calling going to go, do you think?
The same as it always has.
Yeah, no different.
No, but will it go through O'Brien? Will it go through Belichick's headset and then, McDaniels will be able to chime in?
No. Absolutely
I'm not even sure McDaniels will have a headset.
Yeah,
I think he'll hear it.
I think McDaniels role is going to be during the week in preparation.
But he has to hear the – if he's going to be at the game –
and maybe at halftime.
No, but he has to hear the play if he's going to be at the game. Otherwise, he doesn't know what he's watching. He then becomes us.
I buy that.
He doesn't know the play call.
No way that they changed the game day protocol. No way.
You'll just have an extra speaker. He will hear the play call.
He will not talk.
No, he will not talk.
Okay.
I didn't say he would talk.
And my whole thing with that is, you know, it wasn't a rule. The whole thing with hiring the coach is the spirit of all that crap. Listen, I'm a Patriots fan, so suck it.
Oh, did you say suck it?
Yeah, they didn't like it. Okay. Forget it.
Yeah,
see you later.
Yeah. He did.
Give me a break. And Andy, final thing, you're 100% right about the guys at the gym shaving, the old guys.
Yeah.
If the same thing happens to mine.
Well, you're in Florida. No, he's not in Florida.
He's here.
Oh, never mind.
I didn't say Andy was wrong. I don't go to gyms.
It's terrible. Well, you'd be the guy, the fat guy with the towel over his shoulder.
I would not be shaving with no clothes on.
Yes, you would. I could see you doing that.
Never.
There
never
are.
That. I don't even, Fred, I wouldn't even do that in my own house.
I don't know what the age is either when you cross over.
Oh, come on. And Everett at the gyms with
I wouldn't want to be leaning up against the sink to be standing over it to shave with nothing on.
He's right.
That would make me feel funny.
That's what they do.
That would make me feel funny just in and of itself.
Well, it makes me feel funny when they do it.
I can understand because you can't stop looking. That's your problem.
No, I don't look. I just am uncomfortable.
Good, Christian.
All right,
Christian. Peter in Denmark says, after watching the Steelers-Broncos game, do you think the Steelers' defeat could have been avoided if Ryan Clark had played? Furthermore, is the great deep passing game of the Broncos from Sunday's game a new thing to be feared, or will Belichick scheme to shut that down? Yes, we've talked about that. There's no way he's going to let that happen.
Well,
I also don't think I also don't think it's a new thing.
No, it isn't.
And
what they do.
And Belichick has been asked about this. Nick Caserio was asked about this. The people continue to think that what Tebow did in terms of throwing the ball deep is new. He's done that every game. He's tried to throw the ball down
because
that's the only throws he can make consistently.
Yeah. But it's not even him. That's the way that offense works.
Absolutely.
That's
you run, and then you take a shot.
Right. And no, I don't think Ryan Clark necessarily would have made a difference because I think he would have been up in the box just like whoever the heck the guy was.
I think the problem in this game was definitely personnel related, but the fact that Dick LeBeau did not ever adjust. I mean, once or twice, okay, you say, all right, well, he can't do it again. At some point, you got to say, we continue to leave ourselves vulnerable. Ike is struggling today. He continues to let this guy get behind us.
Yep.
We can't succeed with this scheme if he can't handle Demaryius Thomas. And he couldn't. Yep. 200 yards. You can't do that.
Peter in Denmark also says, a funny thing happened during the Danish coverage of the game. When OT started, the TV guys were going on about how they had studied the new OT rules. One of them had even watched a lengthy interview with Mike Pereira about the rule. When the Broncos scored, they were absolutely stunned that the Steelers didn't get a chance to match the score. They continued to be baffled till at some point someone figured what the rule was really about, thus describing the horrible coverage we have in Denmark.
What do you think of Danish?
I think Demaryius Thomas though said he didn't
He wasn't sure until Champ Bailey was running up against.
Well, even Bill spent 10 minutes yesterday talking about how complicated they got a 7-page memo from the league going over the overtime rules.
I am not sure. I mean, I know we already talked about this when they implemented 2 years ago, even though we didn't get any of these last year. If the idea is to let both teams get the ball, I don't really understand the difference between a touchdown and a field goal. Like the whole thing, you know, I kept hearing the word yesterday. And on Sunday, I think Jim Nance used it during the idea was to get rid of the cheap score.
Right.
Like you kick off, you get the ball to 30, you move the ball about 30, you know, one play, 30 yards, you kick a field. Well, that's not a cheap score.
Right.
One play, 80 yards, touchdown. Like, if the idea is to make it equitable for both teams to get their hands on the ball, then I'm not sure you fixed it with the rules the way they are.
Chris in Plainville says TJ Lang is a tackle for the Packers.
Wow. See, he's a football player.
I'm sure there is one.
Yeah.
I've turned into Fred.
Eldridge in North Carolina is on the line. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Fred, Paul, Eric, how y'all doing?
Good. Eric's not here, but we'll tell him you said hi.
Okay.
Hey, well, I'm glad we got Josh back. And I watched that game Sunday night because I'm a Steeler hater too.
Yeah.
I racked my brother. So he told me, well, don't come Saturday night, let me rack you. But now I don't think that's going to happen. But what you said earlier, my quarterback is safety. That's scary too because he got burnt deep there too. But we're going to do something. And I think Josh should help out a little bit because I'm thinking maybe the O'Brien might have his mind on Penn State a little bit because she can't help but wondering. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think he'll have his mind on Penn State during the game, like when he's play calling. Maybe you could say during the week, whatever percent, 10% of his time he's distracted by thinking or right. taking a phone call or whatever about Penn State. I just don't think it's that big a deal. I think if the Patriots win or lose, it'll be about how they played. I don't think it's because Bill O'Brien didn't come up with something or Josh McDaniels confused him and threw, you know, what do they call a fly in the ointment. I don't think
Josh would do that one.
No, I don't either. I think they're going to win and lose because they play. That's it.
You see that pressure they were putting on Ben Sunday? You know, with Miller and Donoville?
Yeah.
And with Pryor coming up the middle a couple times? So they put a little pressure on Brady at first, you know, but yeah. So,
yeah, I didn't. I thought the Patriots did a pretty good job out there other than the obvious runaway Doomerville that almost broke him in half. And that's my one fear, too, is when you face guys that good, and Bill was absolutely raving about Doomerville, and it only takes one. You know, Brady might not get up from that one next time. That exact same play, same hit. You know, I was worried he was going to break his forearm because the helmet hit him right on the forearm. I mean, it only takes one of those. And that's why, you know, we've talked about it. Matt Light, if you're playing, you could win on 69 plays. If the 70th is a runaway sack and he knocks Tom Brady out of the game, you lose the play, you lose the game. And that's how that fine line it is with guys like that.
That's why I think the early game plan is, and I don't care if the Denver Broncos know it. I don't think they can stop it. It's high percentage, short passes, get the ball quickly out of Brady's hand, get that defense running around, loosen them up. That's what you got to do.
Sure.
You know?
But I also think they cover pretty well, which is part of it.
Yeah, that's okay, but it's really hard to cover a guy 5 yards, you know, after the snap. It's hard. You know, and if Brady's accurate,
just
which
depends how you play it.
Right. Well, if Brady's accurate, which that is a question early in the game, I think they'll be successful, and I think it'll loosen up Denver a little
bit. Well, when they win the toss and take the ball, that won't be an issue because he'll be nice and warm.
I think that's overblown, too, that whole thing.
Everything's overblown.
Don't you think that that whole coin toss thing is overblown?
Yes.
What doesn't matter, you know, this whole 10 minutes of waiting and getting cool and everything like that. I'm not buying it.
You already have that, though.
I'm not buying it.
They come out and warm up. They go back in.
Right.
They come out. There's a coin toss.
Right.
There's a this. There's a that.
Right.
Either start fast or don't.
Exactly. You can start fast getting the ball second.
Right.
You know? Let's see, Andrew in the Ukraine.
The things that he goes off on.
Just so I'm not all the pundits who were not surprised after Polian was fired, I want to put my premonition out there in advance. These are the three reasons. Oh, geez, Andy. You starting already?
Really?
You made me eat Pappagino pizza.
These are the three reasons why I think Bill will retire at the conclusion of the season.
Wow.
One, the timing of McDaniel's hiring is suspicious. There is no way McDaniel.
This is the second person today that has thrown this in my direction.
I got, when they announced it the other night, probably 10 tweets about this. That's what everybody's assuming is he was promised head coach.
There is no way McDaniels can contribute anything to this offseason. He doesn't know Fox's system, and Tebow didn't take the first team reps when he was there. I think he was hired so that they could have him under contract when Belichick retires instead of waiting and driving up the price. What about the fact that they needed an offensive coordinator? Anyway, two, the Caserio non-interview. Why would you stay as a highly paid gopher when you could have a real GM job with a number one pick with the best QB prospect coming out since Peyton Manning? And three, Belichick's interview on EEI yesterday was 20 minutes of thinly veiled contempt for Roger Goodell, the officiating, 7-page memos for one rule change, etc. I think he's fed up with the direction of the league and considers it a personal insult against himself and those who mentored him, Paul Brown, Bill Parcells, Bill Walsh, and his own father. So all contributing to him maybe wanting to walk
away.
I feel
like he's had contempt for the league for about a decade.
I think that I hate when there's emails that I have nothing to disagree with.
You think he's going to retire at the end of the year?
No. I think he's giving you reasons why he thinks this might happen. And I think every one of his reasons to me, I'd be lying if I didn't say crossed my mind this week. I thought it was eye-opening to listen to him talk with, I think contempt is the right word yesterday.
But I think he does that all the time.
I think he has contempt. I rarely hear it come out in words. I hear it in tone. I don't hear it unsolicited the way it did yesterday about the officiating in that game and about the way that they do things in general now, these rule changes that we get. I think it was more than just the normal thing. The McDaniels thing, Andy's absolutely right. When we made the McDaniels move, we were inundated with people sending us stuff in. You think that, you know, why would he come to us? Not maybe we promised him head coach in waiting, all that stuff. and then people sort of surmising, well, the path is there. I mean, they have a gimme this week. First team, I'm going to say it, first team in NFL history to get a double bye to the AFC title game. And you go to the Super Bowl, and that's how you walk out? I'm sorry, do I think he's going to leave? I have nothing to indicate this is his last year. I have no indications of that.
Well, you have three.
But I am not. No, I'm just giving you reasons why it could be possible. And I think that everything this guy writes in that email is plausible.
I think it's all makes sense, but I think it's all circumstantial.
Of course it is.
It would be something like that to just do it the way he, you know, to win it, you know, when everyone says you had the worst defense in the league and just give a big F you to the league and walk away into the sunset.
I don't mean to be.
Well, I think if he gave a walk away into the sunset, it would be because he wants to do a walk away into the sunset.
I don't
want to
rain on the parade, but what if they don't win the Super Bowl? You've set all this up.
No, you got to win the Super Bowl.
Well, but now Josh McDaniels thinks he's the head coach.
Yeah. See,
I don't think he has to win the Super Bowl. That's me and Fred disagree on that.
Oh, so you think if he's blown out 45-6, he'll still retire after
that? Yeah, I'm not assuming that they told Josh McDaniels anything about being a head coach.
Can I state something? I didn't say that I think he's going to retire. I said everything this guy – you said it's circumstantial? Absolutely. It's all circumstantial. I will not – I think there is some circumstantial things that – I don't think it'd be stunning to me if he retired.
I would be stunned.
See, I give him more credit than that, though. I think if he's just going to retire, he's going to retire. That's not whether he wins or loses.
I agree. I don't think it has anything to do with winning and losing.
Sometimes, you know, you win and you did it, and then you start thinking, you know.
No, but he's already thinking.
I don't think it has anything to do with.
So you're tying it into Josh. I'm getting the Josh thing out of there.
Well, see, I think the Josh
thing. Josh.
I think a Josh thing is a huge part of it.
Yeah. But that's more Robert Kraft worrying. Well,
I'd be surprised.
Once Bill goes, he doesn't need to worry about the team. You know, Robert Kraft's the one that needs to worry about the team after Bill Belichick.
But maybe Robert Kraft knows that Bill is thinking about this.
Then that's different.
Again, circumstantial, not fact, by any stretch of the imagination.
Right. Did you know that, and I read this in one of those Denver hack jobs this morning, Bob Lamont fired McDaniels, or however you put it, no longer represents McDaniels. They were putting that people that are distancing.
Right, right.
I didn't know that, and do you know the story or anything?
No, and that could be, I mean, you're taking this one hack word for it. Maybe there's other circumstances around that.
Isn't that the same guy that represents Charlie?
I think he represents a lot of coaches.
Yeah, but I think specifically Charlie, but I'm asking about because the obvious Patriot connection, and Charlie does not have a whole lot of friends left based on some of his dealings over the last 5, 6, 8 years. Interesting to me if he was still representing Charlie and decided to walk away from Josh because of those reasons.
Finally, Andrew says, quick question, which would you choose? Bill stays and you guarantee 2 rings in the next 10 years?
I love these.
Or Bill takes the job at the request of the league to fix the rule book? I take the rings. I don't care about the rest of the league.
Yeah, I don't really think that. I think that was a sarcasm alert, Fred, that you might have missed.
Probably.
I kind of like the rule book one. If he fixes it the way I want it, I think I'd like it. Get rid of all these hits and everything.
Scott in Leeds, England. Our ground game was dominant last time versus Denver. Brady had a decent game, but it was the ground game combined with Denver's turnovers that really turned the tide. Chung and Spike's return is huge for our run D, and we won't stick safeties in the box and leave our cornerbacks on an island like Pittsburgh did. So I don't see Tebow going off for 300-plus yards. In fact, I predicted a blowout last time, and I'll go one stage further this time around. I predict a 50-burger. Patriots 52-24. Not looking forward to staying up till 5 a.m., but I'll man the F up and watch us stick it to the Timmy Tebow experience. Second thing is...
I don't see it.
Would you be interested...
I don't see Denver scoring 24.
Oh, so 66-6. That's
no,
a good score.
I don't think it'll be that bad, but I don't see Denver scoring 24.
Would you be interested in a playoff version of my Tebow rap vocals by DJ Paul Parizzle this week? I've recently got several non-Pats fans to tune in the radio show. That's good. I love the ESPN stuff, but you put Pod Vader et al. To shame. Oh, and TJ Lang is a backup for the Green Bay Packers, right?
Who's Pod Vader?
I don't know.
There's like this whole world that I don't even know about.
Well, I mean, ESPN might have the guests, but we have the listeners. You know, so
it's kind of a spin on your Tom Curran shot. If you can keep the Emmy, we'll keep the ratings.
Right. Well, what happened? I had all these callers. They all hung up. I wonder what happened.
What happened to your listeners? They're listening to Teddy.
That is true. I told them to go listen to Teddy.
Little
Patriots, by the way. I did want to look it up. 141 yards rushing against the Denver Broncos. 36 attempts, 3.9 yard average, three rushing scores. That was their third best total yards of the season and a season high tied for in terms of attempts.
Yeah, 3.9 a carry?
Some of that, though, was Brady short touchdown runs and stuff.
And
right?
What did Brady throw for?
Okay. Let me lick my fingers.
While you're looking at Barry Insignia has a little caller on
320.
Yeah.
117.3 passer rating.
That's why they won the game.
Barry Insignia has some listeners. That's why they always crime. Paul sniffed it out, says Barry. Jeff in Vegas is full of it. Pats were never 20-1 in 04. Call this clown out. He doesn't know much about sports betting. And,
I didn't say
and
that.
Could prove it over and over.
Jeff since tweeted and said it was his mistake. He got it in 03, and that Paul was right.
Wow.
So he looked back in his records.
I wasn't blatantly calling him a liar.
I don't think you should keep records on those things, should you?
Well, I assume he's doing it legally.
But he did
I saw New Jersey pass.
He did tweet
it, right?
5 minutes after he hung up.
You see that, Fred? New Jersey passed the in their whatever vote was on it, the sports betting.
Oh, is that right?
I don't know if that's like finalized.
Binding.
But, or I don't even, it might have even been one half of the house or something, but it passed a hurdle in New Jersey to have sports betting.
Yeah, I just kind of like the idea of Vegas being the place.
Who cares? People who want to bet are going to bet.
I know.
So whether it's legal or not, they're going to find somebody to place a bet with.
Joel wants to know, how do we feel about everything adding up to 316 in the game on with the Broncos? 316 yards passing, 31.6 yards per play. Demaryius Thomas being born on December 25th. That's his birthday. I think there was another 316 reference, too.
The ratings in overtime, I think.
Oh, was it 31.6?
I think Stone Cold Steve Austin is very happy.
What do you think about that? Do you think there's anything to it?
I'm buying. I think when
you're buying in.
When they put out Denver Broncos United, a coffee book table that they'll rue printing because it'll be around for decades, that'll be a story in there, much like some of the stories that were in your coffee table book. Can you hear it snowing?
How do you hear it snow?
Like snow in your head.
Oh, in the earphones. Travis in Tennessee. Paul, last week you said Josh McDaniels coming to New England was a non-issue.
I was wrong.
Since he was under contract and that there was no point talking about it. Now he's here.
That's correct. I was way wrong. I didn't see it coming.
Since he was never released or fired, is giving a team permission to talk to someone under contract a gentleman's agreement way of saying, if you want to go there, we will release you to sign with that particular team?
Sort of. I mean, it gives the indication that they're open to the idea of him going to you.
Yeah, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, I'm guilty as charged. I did not see that as a possibility last week.
I mean, McDaniels
so
and
take
Vincent
line
Fuller,
on that one.
Tough year for you.
Well, this one's a little bit...
Vincent Fuller's going to start.
This one was a little bit more serious than Vincent Fuller. Vincent Fuller was more of a...
You're fuller of it.
I was talking more in terms of just the...
Starting.
Well, based on what had happened every week, they had a new safety every week. I just said, nah. Who knows? Maybe he's out there starting this week. I didn't think there was a chance that he'd be on the staff this year. So, I'm not afraid to admit when I'm wrong.
Corey reminds us
unlike my colleague.
You got a lot of practice.
Unlike my colleague.
Tim Tebow set the record.
Who, by the way, said the same thing that I did, but is...
I don't even remember talking about it.
There we go.
Corey writes in that Tim Tebow set the record for tweets per second yesterday at 9,420.
Awesome.
Glad he will break some sort of record in his illustrious career. We also had the most yards per completion. That's a new record, 31.6. So
they made up a new stat for Tim Tebow.
I mean,
with a subnote on Dick LeBeau and Demaryius Thomas, because they were both equally, if not more so, related to that note.
I've railed for years that why don't they track yards per completion? They always go yards per attempt, correct? But they don't do yards per completion until Tim Tebow sets a record.
Gene in Daytona says, I heard Paul say...
How do you check that if the record didn't exist?
Sorry, Fred.
Gene in Daytona says, I heard Paul say last week that if you take away GM Belichick, you lose the coach Belichick, and he's so right. I saw Bill in that draft special. You
didn't
guys,
see that your one. Week wasn't as bad as you thought, Paul.
I didn't see where I was. Didn't see that one going that direction.
I saw Bill in that draft special you guys did, and what I saw was a kid at Christmas. So why would we want to take the thing he enjoys most about his job away from him? You can see it in Belichick's eyes how he enjoys draft time. To him, it's like getting a new toy at Christmas, and then the excitement of seeing how they work and what works best. I don't mind if you guys criticize Bill's mistakes, but do not go overboard and follow certain people in the national media suggesting Belichick should give up his GM duties.
Yeah, and we're not, by the way.
Be careful. You do not get tied to these people in the end. If we should lose Belichick, the coach, over Belichick, the GM, it will be the fans asking for your heads and not ownership. The fans will be looking for someone to blame, and I do not want it to be my guys. Fred defends Belichick, the GM, and he's right to do so to maintain balance in the discussion. Good or bad, Belichick, the GM, Fred realizes how careful an issue this is, and we should not do the dirty work for these guys in the national media who are jealous of our team's success and see this as a crack to be exploited in hope of our team's downfall.
You're right. That it is a lot like Christmas, because I've seen with my kids, you get a lot of toys that break within a couple days, and you have to throw them
That's why you're a bad person.
Like these second-round picks, they're broken immediately.
But no one, and we said this emphatically last week, no one wants Belichick gone.
No.
Nobody.
And I don't want him to
no
give
one here.
GM
I'm saying no one here.
I want him to have total control. I mean,
he has total,
there is he has no, total
yeah,
control
of everything. And I don't want him to take some
he
of that
He has
away.
Total control
I know,
of everything.
But some people want
Oh, yeah. Anthony Naples. You want to call?
Chris writes in, I've been a waitlist member for some time and attend over half the home games and playoff games for years. What's the deal with everyone, media, reporters, players, giving us fans so much crap for not being loud? Everyone is always standing and cheering at the top of their lungs.
You left out the players.
And don't we get, he did say players.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And don't we get some credit for, he said media, reporters, and players.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't we get some credit for bearing the harsh weather conditions and still arriving early to tailgate and lube up? When will we get some recognition and credit?
When you're loud. When you affect a game for the positive.
I feel bad. I mean, I think what Andy just said is right. I think there's plenty of outdoor stadiums and bad weather cities that have more of an impact on the game than we do.
Larry the Drunk writes in, hey, guys, did you see Roethlisberger at the podium after the game? Dear God, that fedora and suit combo are hilarious.
He looks
like a bad gangster in a poor film. He's just missing the Tommy gun. He also couldn't make his mind up whether his ankle hurt or not at certain points of the game. Throws a pick, limps and kneels, wants a flag, sprints and moans. One word, fraud, and a fat one, too. Anywho, guys, that's my rant. Turned 21 today, and I'm on my dorm bed listening to you guys and your middle-aged rumblings. Things have gone downhill already.
Andy, that's got to hurt, huh? People calling you middle-aged.
I'm on the young end
I always thought Larry the Drunk was older. He's only 21.
And he should have never been drunk till now.
Yeah. I did see the post-game with, and it was funny.
I missed that.
I was watching NFL Network, and Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders said, that's a got-to-win hat. You know, that's the hat you wear and you say
if you win.
Yeah. But he wore it anyway.
I didn't see it, but.
I mean, he was all dressed up. He had the fedora on. He had the pocket handkerchief all folded.
Well, he probably planned on wearing
exactly.
that after he won.
Exactly. That's what they were saying.
Well, of course. I mean, why would you ever go to a game and say,
no, but I mean.
I'm not expecting to win today.
He didn't have an out outfit. You know, when we lose.
No.
It's kind of like. Forget it. I almost just said something.
Oh, you're up.
Sometimes you get a little too comfortable in the seat.
Yeah, you do.
All right.
Felger, by the way.
Yeah.
You know how he makes Fred
an
look
a-hole.
Like a he makes Fred look like a Tebow basher with his support of Tebow. Yesterday he actually tried to say that how sad is it that this kid gets more criticism than Roethlisberger? Are you kidding me? You're going to try to compare the criticism that Tebow gets to what Roethlisberger takes since whatever it was. What was that, 2 years ago now? He has been he's hated.
Right.
He's hated virtually everywhere but Pittsburgh.
Right.
And you're going to compare the criticism that Tebow gets for throwing his religion in everyone's face to what Roethlisberger takes? There's no comparison.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know you're trying to make your point over the, you know, why is this kid get any criticism at all. All he is a religious guy. Why does he get any criticism for that? But please, don't tell me that Roethlisberger skates
right
for what he did, because he doesn't.
Right.
Can I ask my
and
question?
He shouldn't.
Can I ask my question that B.B. Jones is tweeting about on Twitter?
What's that?
Can I bring it up?
If you have to ask, probably no. Okay.
Well, I'm just saying it's out there. B.B. Jones, who obviously was the porn star.
Yeah.
Has a discussion about Tim Tebow and his preferences.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just wondering if anyone else...
Does she have any inside knowledge?
I have... Well, I have no, with her, it's possible. Yeah. But she does not buy that, A, he hasn't had sex, and B, she's not so sure that he's heterosexual and be looking to have sex with women. And I just think it's interesting that that, now that may just be the backlash, the, you know, the opposite of,
right.
You know, every he's so great, he's so perfect, it has to go the other way, and maybe right. she's leading that charge. But I just think someone who's very involved in the sex industry and probably knows
yeah.
certain things, I think it's interesting.
They have a little girl with 73 surgeries. We have a porn star. That's the
I'm not sure we want to go down that road necessarily.
But I like how Andy goes, you know, there's an expert, you know, in the sex industry. So, like, her opinion is more valuable right. than yours?
Who knows more about this? Sex than a porn star?
Has she ever even met Tim Tebow?
I don't know.
Maybe I doubt has. It.
She's met Rob Ninkovich. I mean, Rob Gronkowski.
But I can't imagine Tim Tebow is, you know, fraternizing with porn stars.
Maybe he is. Fraud.
Simon,
you know, she's an expert. She's in the sex industry.
Simon, like Dr. Ruth.
Simon in the UK says, Josh McDaniels, I have him on the sideline jumping up and down, waving his arms and making all kinds of signals, even though he has nothing to do with game day coaching, just to irritate the stupid media, if nothing else.
that would be kind of funny.
But let's get on to the other important themes of the PFW 2011 season, place names. Last year in the UK, the Comic Relief Charity gave four comedians the challenge of finding the rudest names in the UK within 50 hours. While they didn't manage to reach Cockermouth or Twat, they did drop...
You can't say
that! You can't
that.
Say
These
the
are
words.
Names!
You can't say...
Oh.
You can't say that!
They did drop by Minge Lane, very close to Bush Lane, eat it, Sally Pussy's in before finally coming to a cock lane. So,
cock and take.
There you go.
All right. I can't believe you just said that word.
These are names of places in UK.
TWAT is the name of a place in UK?
Yes.
No, it isn't.
It isn't?
I'm saying it's not.
Oh, okay. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we've got Pat in Brooklyn, Anthony in Naples, and Umar in France.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature,
right? Right, no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Mm, these Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I
Love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in Progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
I'm trying to read the email here. Guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespecting.
No, that's not my fault. It's
no, that's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical big head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses
that's
the
not
emails.
My fault. It's not my fault that I'm talking while you're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in Progress.
He's going to kill him.
Okay, back here in PFW in Progress. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. We're going to go to the phones in a second. Quick email. Brent in Illinois says, Fred just contradicted himself within 20 minutes. He said, first you said they should get new entertainment guy here to change the pregame music. Then in the next breath, you say there's no way they're changing the game day ritual. No, not for this game, but I think in the offseason they should look at doing some new things.
Which is when we should talk about it with
right.
the person
well,
in question.
To be fair, the pregame music is chosen by the players.
No, but yeah. he means so like,
warm, you know,
I'm,
don't. Don't
I'm not talking
you know
about what
talking
what they
about.
Play when they warm up. I'm talking about Crazy Train and... You know, this right. is our house.
It's the presentation.
I think it's
that's
old. Fair. I think it's old and tired. Our staples every week are old and tired.
Right.
I think it's time for a fresh change.
Eric's here.
Ready?
He just came back from the practice field.
And I think for the first time this season, I can say that there was perfect attendance.
Really?
At Patriots practice, including coaches, by the way.
Oh.
Josh
out there.
Saw Josh.
What
saw
was he
Billy
doing?
O, who was back from Happy Valley. He and Bill were sort of off at the. They were down at the low field,
spinning their whistles
no.
together.
No, actually, there was no spinning. No,
he and Bill O'Brien or Belichick.
Belichick.
Oh, okay.
Belichick. You know, two. You know,
teacher's pet.
Former head coach. You know, he has that, yep. that gravitas now. He can sort of hang
that's
away
true.
From the crowd.
Yep. Bill know? O'Brien came over and Josh said, "You wouldn't be interested in any."
But yeah, it was just the two of them, sort of the whole time during stretching and the first. Drill of practice, and but the more important news: Logan Mankins, Sebastian Vollmer, both of them back in uniform. Took a little bit of a look at Mankins, who had sweatpants on, so it was hard to tell if he was in full pads because the rest of the team was in full pads. He was doing the O lineman drill. You know, there's like three of them that line up, and then they get in the stance, and then they run a few yards, and then he didn't look like he was
the morons drill.
Well, but he didn't look like he was going 100%. He didn't look like he was going full speed because he couldn't. I think his leg wasn't
Plus, he was covering the big braces.
And he was covering whatever was underneath the
Dawn Joy.
Yeah. But he was out there.
I love when you do that.
And he was going with, he was going, doing, taking his reps with the first group like he normally does.
But it could be a mirage, a facade.
You know, he had the pads and the uppers on, had sweatpants, the only player who had sweatpants on.
Who's this?
Logan Mankins.
Don't tell him. Okay. He's not going to listen. Don't tell him.
I'm Pro Bowl left guard. Angles.
How about Sebby Vollmer? How'd he look? Stiff?
Yeah, like he usually does, though. He doesn't, I mean, he doesn't, he's...
like he's dealing with a back problem?
Yeah. But he had, you know, he actually had, he likes to tuck the jersey up. And, you know, he had a back problem, obviously, so it wasn't really hiding anything there, unlike Mankins, right. Who was clearly...
Well, he didn't have a heat pad attached to him with, like, a long cord.
Thermacare, those things just wrapped around.
But I was making a joke about the back thing, but...
It's a foot.
The more recent injury was a foot, right?
He also had a foot injury, too, but didn't seem to be as noticeable it wasn't really a limp, but he wasn't extending fully.
Ridley?
Mankins.
How do you look, Ridley?
There's nothing wrong with Ridley. I wasn't paying attention to him. Wasn't paying attention to him because he was unimportant.
No? If we're going
to
just do random players, how did Ross Ventrone look?
I will say that Ridley had a large media contingent around him today in the locker room, which I found somewhat surprising.
And his faux hawk's getting more hawkish.
Just usually rookies, playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had no problem.
Yeah, when I requested him for our TV show, I was told, I don't think so. He's a rookie.
A very energetic start to practice.
Okay.
A lot of guys hooting, hollering, let's go. You know, the drills were fast paced.
Who was leading it? I like to know that.
Thought I heard Tom Brady.
Ooh.
I heard a little bit out of him.
He cares again.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, they're excited to enter in the second half of their bye.
All right. So is that it, Eric? Anything else for us?
We touched
a lot
on
of people
things.
Wondering, are you going to be picking the Broncos again?
Well, they'll just have to tune in Thursday when we make the picks.
You're not gonna let us know. Why not?
Because picks are made on Thursday.
I know, but
you know, Thursday
picks are made on Thursday.
Definitely picks on Thursday.
So you gotta look at one show at a time, Fred.
You
gotta focus on one show.
You will not let us know whether or not you'll be picking the Patriots or Broncos.
That defeats the purpose of having picks on Thursday.
Whether
I will be waiting until then.
There's three other games, too.
The God Squad. Yeah,
I'll tell you right now, I'm picking the Patriots.
Oh, my God, I'm shocked.
Right.
I'm really shocked.
Oh, so you think that the world's waiting in bated breath for you.
But you always pick the Patriots.
Right. Yeah, I don't always pick
but he's a homer, and you're a Scalavino.
He always picks the Patriots. I wasn't talking about you. I'm saying him.
Yeah, I just think that most fans that are listening to us Tuesday, Wednesday, they don't need Thursday to come around to get our thoughts on the Patriots pick.
Right, right.
I think you have an idea of how you talk all week of where you're going. I think Fred was just wondering if you had an idea of where you were going.
Do you know now?
Do you know now?
Yes, I know now.
Okay.
I know now.
There's no more information that you need to make an opinion.
No.
To make a pick.
No.
Okay.
He's with God.
You know, because
I always am.
To me, unless Denver continues this path of, you know, they're whining about, you know, adding people, so they figure if you can't beat them, join them, and all of a sudden they say, you know, Shannon Sharp and John Elway and, you know, Rod Smith are coming back and they're going to play like they did 15 years ago. I'm not going to change my pick between now and Thursday.
All right. Let's go to the phones, 508-298-0398. Pat is in Brooklyn. Hey, Pat.
Hello. How are you?
Good. We're doing great.
Hey, Patty.
All right. I want to mention a couple things. Number one, the Denver game Sunday, one of the best games I've seen all year. Tebow, I don't expect him to do that every week, but that was a fantastic game. Number two, I'm concerned about the secondary. I'm just wondering if you guys knew who the Pats might be leaning towards in terms of starting in the secondary. Would it be McCourty and Chung with Arrington and Molden on the at the corners, or was the McCourty thing just a 1 week thing?
That's a good question.
It's a great question. He didn't answer it, I'll tell you that when I asked him.
It's a good question.
I'm really surprised at that, too.
You know, when they first brought in McCourty, they were in a sub package, but I don't think that they're going to be in sub a lot or as much in this game.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, probably not, but they do have to be wary of the deep ball.
But I think, you know, depending on McCourty's shoulder, he's one of the better tacklers back there. So I could see him saying, you know, for this game, let's put him at safety again and have him play run support. And we can get by with Arrington and Molden on the corners.
And it gets down to...
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with that. I was just wondering, now, Arrington was benched, according to some reports, in the last game. Was his play that bad in the last game?
Belichick yelled at him at that one play along the sideline where he didn't turn for the ball and they mentioned it on TV that Belichick was giving him an earful. So that might have been what they were talking about.
That's where I'd be. Yeah, I think
the other guy's been giving up plays all year. I give him one.
Based on his play throughout the year,
I
think McCourty at safety, I would certainly like to give that a long look and maybe make the switch if it's a disaster. Because McCourty gives two things. Like you said, he can certainly tackle. And I think someone mentioned that, this is not an original thought, but someone mentioned that McCourty seems to be better off looking at the ball coming at him rather than him turning for the ball, because all his problems this year have mainly been on him not turning around and playing the ball.
You said that, Andy.
No, I didn't.
You said maybe
actually, I said it.
I said his problems this year were covering people.
Yeah, I don't think his problem has been finding the ball this year. His problem has been staying with his receiver. And by the way, that was his problem at safety last week, too. Guys were behind him when he was playing safety.
And I don't know how you can like or dislike him based on
Antoine Molden's passing. Antoine Molden's pass interference, for an example, I think it was on Derek Hagan. McCourty was supposed to be there, and he wasn't.
It may be a 50-50 shot that he's still there.
Sure,
McCourty.
I'm not gonna rule it out. I personally would have McCourty and Arrington at corner.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to rule anything that Belichick does out.
And another reason for that too is, it's hard to believe that, you know, they say it all the time, they're game plan specific, week to week they change depending on what they feel is best. Obviously, all that nonsense. But
it's not nonsense.
Hold on,
why is this guy still talking? Hang on.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. I wasn't done making the point.
You, Pat.
I wasn't done making the point, so just listen for a second. When they had Arrington playing defensive end last year, that wasn't just a one-game thing. They did it for a few games.
Right.
I find it hard to believe that moving McCourty to safety was game plan specific for the final regular season game, which really meant not a whole lot. I mean, it meant getting the number one seed, but they already had a bye week. I have a feeling they're going to continue to do that, maybe only in situational, you know, nickel and dime like they did in the last game, maybe more. I don't know, but I just find it hard to believe they would do that just for one game and then never again.
No, you could be right. Anything else, Pat?
My last question was, is there a possibility that Ocho Cinco could be deactivated for this game?
Okay, good question.
There's always a possibility.
Do they need the spot?
Well, yeah, for what reason?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Understand what the thinking behind it would necessarily be.
Yeah, I mean, who is the guy that they needed to get active?
I mean, he's been active 15 of 16 times, right? And the one time he wasn't, it was theoretically a hamstring injury.
Yeah,
right.
I think he's active. I mean, I think he's your bottom of the depth chart receiver.
And the best game he had, arguably, was against Denver.
Sure. You know, I thought the guy was going to go with the secret weapon that's going to have the breakout game. He kind of button hooked me there, but I think he'll be active. He's been active all year.
Why not?
I think he's part of the regular mix. Now, maybe it's a little more of an interesting eight inactives, seven inactives, because everybody's healthy theoretically now and out on the practice field, although I'm sure most of them will be listed as
questionable
mm-hmm. or whatever.
Limited participation, questionable, all that.
But I just think he's part of the mix. And on the McCourty thing, it also gets down to the next guy in line at either position. Because I'm assuming Chung, McCourty, and Arrington are your top three DBs.
Right.
They will be out there in some rotation. But do you want Molden, Sterling Moore, James Ahedabo?
Right.
You know, who's next in line? Who you're most comfortable with against the Broncos and what they do? Ahedabo is a big safety.
Yeah.
Now, not everybody's in love with his tackling ability. To me, he's middle of the pack in tackling.
Yeah.
He's not as bad as Sergio Brown, but I wouldn't say
he's
the best tackler ever.
Not as great as James Sanders was.
Right, he's not as sure as James Sanders, who had a safety this weekend as the only points for the Atlanta Falcons.
Safety with a safety.
Yeah. Followed up by a horrible game.
But I wouldn't be... Yeah, he looked like a Patriot. You can take the Patriot out of New England, but you can't take the Patriot coverage out of the New England defensive
Wait
back.
A minute. Raiders fired Hugh Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh, they did?
Wow. They believe in one-year coaches out there. It's just something they believe in.
Oh, my God.
Hugh Jackson, they don't want guys getting too comfortable.
Following the tradition of Al Davis.
The Raiders. I knew it was coming.
Why?
Just make that official. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Why was it coming, though? I mean,
Al died.
Because they brought a new general manager in.
Al's dead.
They said he was going to hire his own guy.
Clean house?
Al's dead.
Wow.
Dead, you know.
Let's go to the phones again. Anthony in Naples, and he's angry. Hey, Anthony.
Oh, what else is?
I
think that's redundant.
Angry.
You're always angry.
It says angry Anthony.
No, I said no. I told Kevin, and you didn't.
My
pay
nickname
attention.
For him.
No, I said
no.
This is Anthony taking the bait in Naples because Andy threw the bit out in the water.
I did.
Whatever.
I did. I jerked it a little bit.
But I'm not the only guy
that who wants to fire Belichick. I don't want to fire Belichick.
Just the GM.
Okay? Yes, the GM part. I want somebody to push him back. That's all I want. Somebody to question him, you know, and just be like, no, well, this is what our scouts say, and you know what? I have watched film on this guy. This is the route that we should go, you know, and hopefully Josh McDaniels will be that. It'll help with the drafting as well. I think there's a lot of different areas Josh can help out with. I don't know. But quite surprised, actually, with the move. I'm surprised he actually could pick up a coach like that and put him on the staff. But, hey, we'll take that. I feel better now about the offense. Now, I was going to get worried going into next year whatever scrub was going to come in and call the plays. But now that Josh is here, it's like, yeah, good. Yeah. Bill can concentrate on the defense.
Not a bad GM move.
You have an innovative play caller.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll use innovative with Josh, definitely, because I like him.
Yeah, it's easy. It's,
you know.
Touché. I'm just kidding, Paul.
And that's why I laughed.
All right, I thought you were like
faking
like,
a laugh.
No, I said touche, and I was laughing.
Ready to go zero to hot on you?
Not at all. Not on Anthony. I leave the anger to Anthony.
Well, I was going to say you're both zero to hot, so that could be absolutely dangerous for all of us involved.
I have a question for you guys.
Sorry.
Sorry, Anthony. The question was going to be to you as well.
Oh, you said you guys.
When you have a lot of leaves at the bottom of the pool, what's the best way to go?
No, everybody keeps saying no one wants Belichick to GM out. I have a specific reason.
Eric's waving his hand in the background. I think he wants to say something.
if there was some hypothetical way that you could say Belichick will be 100% on board if you say that he's still the head coach and he's every bit the head coach that he is now, but he's no longer going to be the general manager. It's impossible because you can't separate the two.
Who has final say on personnel?
Would you want that and someone else come in to do the personnel?
No. Because I don't have anybody that I would like to name. That's the flaw with me. I've been critical of some of his picks, but I'm going to use my own rule against me. Okay, so who's the GM? I don't have an answer.
I don't have the answer.
I think
Kevin Colbert.
What if Michael Lombardi came in?
Oh, God, no.
Wait, in this new league where you can just take anybody from any other team, if I can take Kevin Colbert,
yes.
I'll take him.
Yes, why
and
not?
And if it's a hypothetical, he'll work as well with Bill as he does with the Steelers team. He'll know Bill's desires, right?
Mm.
Paul's just staring at me.
I don't know if I understand that part.
He clearly has it down as to what a Steelers player is, especially
correct.
On defense.
Oh, he'll know
regardless
what Bill,
of coach.
He'll know what Bill wants.
Yeah,
regardless of who the Steelers coach is.
Okay, Kevin Colbert. Bill, you're out. Sorry.
Yeah, but if all he's going to do is pick
draft
who Bill wants,
sweet, then I don't want Kevin Colbert.
Why do you have to pay a guy to do it?
No, but he can pick better players. No. Like for instance.
He knows what kinds of players Bill wants. He identifies
to
them.
To give Dick LeBeau. Why are you giving that face?
I don't,
you
I
asked
mean,
a question.
I'm posing it out there. You're attacking me like
no one.
No.
No one attacked you.
No one is attacking you.
But you said something different than what Andy surmised.
I'm just.
For example, maybe Colbert could have convinced him that you know Ryan Kerrigan or Alden Smith would have been good picks as outside linebackers,
or Lamar Woodley or Lawrence Timmons can play.
Unless those aren't people that Bill wants, like the type of player.
Well, we know they are. But he might, maybe he'll convince Bill you can get by with a shorter, faster, quicker linebacker on the edge in this game of basketball. Not football.
Let's go to Omar in France. Hey, Omar.
I thought it was Umar.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
We're doing well.
Gracias, oui.
All right. I have a football-related question.
That's good. We're a football-related show.
Sometimes.
So it's about the overtime rule. I think I'm understanding it fairly well. But now here's the scenario. Let's say the Steelers would have onside kicked instead of kicking it deep to Denver. And let's say they recover it. If they score a touchdown, I know the game is over. But how about if they get in field goal range, kick the field goal, get 3 points? Do you what's the rule? Does Denver get the ball?
Yeah, I think that Denver does get the ball. It's a possession. So, you know, regardless of how you get the possession, unless it's a turnover, you know, the other team never had a chance to possess the ball, and that's what they would need to have if they only got a field goal.
Oh, okay, that's cool. That's what I was wondering about. And then last question. Jennifer Aniston was elected the sexiest woman of all time. And,
of all time?
I disagree.
By who?
Yeah,
I disagree.
She was.
By French people?
I don't know. I think it's Cosmopolitan. It's an American magazine.
Because you guys in France, you like Jerry Lewis, so I don't know. I question your taste.
You're such a moron.
They also like Leticia Casta, who we talked about before, was on their money.
Yeah.
Leticia Casta, yeah, she's hot.
Yeah, she's...
Yeah, Jennifer. Yeah,
I'm a huge Jennifer Aniston fan, but that's putting her
of all time
awfully lofty.
She's borderline would pass the mall.
Thanks, Omar.
Oh, now. She's like in her mid 40s.
But she's never
she looks
been
good for 40s.
She does look good.
She looks fantastic.
Did you see Horrible Bosses?
Don't tell me like when she was on the first starting on Fringe, she wouldn't have passed the mall
test. She's never
test.
Been a smoke show. She's been like pretty.
Cute.
Yeah. She's
apparently
not.
She's doing a movie where she gets naked finally this year.
I don't know.
Maybe well, look at the creep with the red face behind the glass.
And
over
he's
there.
Like, she's doing a movie. Yeah. That she's
now, what did he use?
Finally. Look, he looks like a tomato right now.
Because she's a definite like a MILF. She's like, you want to marry her because she's going to look like that for the next 20
yeah.
years.
Yes.
But I don't know that she's the hottest
she's
woman.
She's naturally
pretty. I
think pretty.
If you brought her back to her early 30s, she would be more than just pretty, to use Andy's word. Back at the start of Friends,
pretty became,
that was
became
just
a bad thing to say about a girl.
Yeah. No, for you, I
she's
know it is.
She's a game manager.
I know it is for you.
She's a tackle machine.
Because she doesn't have, you know.
She's the Gerard Mayo.
She doesn't have enormous, she doesn't have enormous fake breasts.
Loose change.
No, enormous real breasts are nice, too. Katy Perry's are real.
They usually have to be fake.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Leticia Costa's are as real as. No, I prefer large, real ones. Fake ones feel fake.
Yeah. Keep taking those steroids. You'll get them.
No, you don't have any steroids in you, and you already got them. Batman.
He can't just take it.
This is my favorite.
David writes in.
When I'm not involved.
And I like how he lifts up his body when he does.
Well, usually he leans on the chair.
He's adjusting his fat.
He's going to kill him.
David says, I can't tell you how annoying it is being in Denver. This is a Denver Patriots fan. Being in Denver
Pike's
this week,
Peak,
I think that the McDaniels drama is ridiculous and the Denver Post reporting is embarrassing.
Yep.
Everyone in Denver has been complaining about Tebow over the last 3 weeks, and no one even cared when they made the playoffs with an Oakland loss because it wasn't in good fashion. If I was a Broncos fan, I would be ecstatic for simply making the playoffs. Now there's been another good game by Tebow. Everyone is back on the bandwagon. Three of us, who you guys met at the Pikes Peak Pats party in week 15.
That's a lot of peas there.
We'll be watching the game at a Broncos sports bar in downtown Denver. I'm almost certain that some group of drunk bandwagon Denver fans will try to fight us. So here's my plea to you guys to help us out. Please be like Ocho Cinco, who hooked up some lucky fan on Twitter with playoff tickets this week. Child, please. Does that mean you'll fly out and come
Child,
to the game?
Please.
We're not rich like Oso. If Mr.
Please.
Kraft pays me $6 million for this year, I'd be happy to get you playoff tickets.
You caught almost as many passes.
That's true.
Wow, we got a lot of emails that we haven't had a chance to get to, but John Rookwill on Patriots Playbook.
The Rook and the Queen.
You all right?
Yeah, I just got
what
a little.
What the hell are you laughing at?
I just got a little dry mouth.
Not saying anything.
John's here. Hey, John.
What's up, Fred?
How you doing?
I'm good.
You don't sound good. You sound real somber.
No, I'm good. You even have a Nitpick Tuesday during the bye week?
We can if you like.
Yeah.
You want to lead it off?
No.
I'm asking.
Do you have anything like you're thinking
why do
of
all the other teams have to get so many
game,
injuries?
You know, with Tim Tebow in town?
Well, honestly, I mean, the way things seem to be going, I'm wondering if maybe there's too much good karma going in the Patriots' direction. All the breaks seem to be.
He did.
Too much good karma.
Too much. All the breaks seem to be going their way.
He found a way to do it.
He's
right?
The best.
Don't look a double bye in the mouth.
No.
Yeah.
Do that at all.
I was calling this the first ever double bye.
A lot of people would argue
with
you.
NFL history.
I mean, I was watching the game, the Denver Broncos-Pittsburgh game, and during the game on the Twitter, a lot of fans were, you know, now saying, uh-oh, should we really want Pittsburgh? And it was getting, I was getting annoyed at that.
You were getting annoyed?
Yes.
I think just overdo it just a little bit. You can definitely OD. But I'm just saying, you know, the way the breaks have fallen down, I mean, it certainly could have been Pittsburgh. It even could have been Cincinnati. I would argue that Cincinnati might have been a little bit tougher opponent than Denver, you know, all push comes to shove, perhaps.
I agree.
But at the same time, so you've got Cincinnati knocked out. You got Pittsburgh knocked out. I mean, are the breaks falling the Patriots' way? Sometimes in order to win a championship, you need to have the breaks fall your way. I'm just wondering if anybody else sees that, or is anybody else disturbed a little bit that, wow, things seem to be going their way. What bad is going to happen next?
That's the best part of it.
That's
though,
the Boston part. That's the Boston part.
Things are going too
that
good.
That is the Boston
yes,
part.
I do
that's
see everything. I do see the breaks falling the Patriots' way. No, I'm not concerned about what the bad thing is going
to
be.
Nothing worse could ever happen to this team than 07. So the worst has already happened.
What if they lose 25 home playoff games in a row?
If they lose to Denver, where does would this loss rank in terms of the all-time defeats?
I agree with you, John. I think that would be worse.
Wouldn't be worse than 07, but it'd be pretty bad.
I would have to say that
07 still ranks slightly ahead.
Slightly?
But this, yes.
Well, because it was a Super Bowl.
18-0
in the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's way above it.
I think,
no,
that's
I
think that's a great accomplishment that you can look back on and say, hey, that was a great team.
I think you can, which is why we have the banner out there in the stinking
stadium.
It's
the game that shall not be mentioned.
Losing to a horrific team at home like this.
When you've lost two in a row at home already. When you've lost two in a row at home already, I mean, this whole regular season, Fred, has basically been, we can't wait till the playoffs. We can't wait till the playoffs.
Well,
this doesn't mean
none of this matters
unless we get to the playoffs.
None of this matters until we win in the playoffs.
That's exactly
what
I'm saying.
To not only that, but to lose to a bad, bad team.
The dark cloud that is the Patriots playbook is up next.
And they call Andy and I negative.
Followed by
I'm not negative. I'm just bringing up the topic.
Followed by Pete Shepard.
If people think I'm full of it, they're going to let me know.
And his unique brand of Patriots Sports Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.
Wanna be your superhero, or even if I tumble fall. I'm okay. You have that effect on me, but I need you desperately. You know I need you desperately. A brick stone cannot hurt me. Madmen around the city go. Chances alone. My pretty neighbor, dimple cheek, a face I adore. Wanna be your superhero, falling from a running horse.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.